kind of just perusing stuff during the show, and I happened upon Noob's Steam profile. Have we discussed that he has convicted sex offender in his Steam profile?
Welcome to the Scotchcast. This is the Giant Bomb Guild Wars 2 Community's off-topic podcast. I'm your host, Self-Confessed Cynic. Joining me today is Noobarama.
Hey.
Thurbleton.
I feel like that was a lousy intro for Noob. He usually brings a pretty good time. I mean, like, what
I was going to say something really inappropriate, so
that's usually what you do.
No, but the thing is, like, recently I've been using a lot, like, just really offensive terms on the Mumble server. I don't know why. It might be just because pent-up stress from having a shitty winter.
Speaking of someone who uses offensive terms on a regular basis, Squiddle is also joining us today.
Heyo!
And that is the crew for now. Maybe Jiren may be joining us halfway through the show, I don't know. But if you hear that energy, it's because this is the first podcast of 2014. You guys.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yay.
And we have no plans as to what to talk about today, because nothing's happened in the news, because it's New Year's. Barely any of us have played video games, as far as I can tell, aside from nothing new that I know of. So we're just going to talk about what happened.
It's new.
When it comes to my turn to talk, I can provide the Lincoln Cask... The Scotch Cast Lincoln Cast Minute.
Okay. Does yeah, sure. Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A minute's worth of news for Guild Wars 2.
But before we get there, one man amongst us has had things happen to him over the last couple weeks.
Can I do my last? Because I need to collect my thoughts and try to remember how shit my life has been recently.
No, I'd rather you do... I don't know. I reckon you can go first.
All right,
first.
Okay. Let's go in raw.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to just prompt you, all right. So I heard you had a fantastic Christmas. Is that correct?
No, that is incorrect. I had a fucking shit Christmas, and most of the people in southwestern Ontario also had a shit fucking Christmas. Now, if you live in... you know, the populated area of Canada, so Toronto, you essentially experienced, as long as you weren't leaving downtown, maybe some people experience up to 2 weeks of no power in negative 20 degrees Celsius weather.
Oh, shit.
And it was the Christmas week, of course. It has to be during fucking Christmas, because apparently Santa Claus doesn't exist.
You know, I heard it's good to stay warm to pee on your hands. It keeps your body warm if you have to.
I just woke up Sunday morning. So that's like 3-4 days before Christmas. Uh-huh. And it was sort of breezy. And I asked my dad, why is my computer not turning on? And he said, the power is out. And then I look outside and literally everything is covered in ice. So there was just horrible freezing rain the day before. So everywhere you went, like, trees were covered in ice. Trees were fucking falling over onto power lines. Power lines were literally frozen solid icicles. Everything was gone to shit. And essentially, in that weather, the falling trees, because, you know, they're covered in ice and they're heavy, they hit down power lines. So all across the city, something like 600,000 people didn't have power in Toronto alone or something like that. It might have been 300,000. I don't remember. 300,000 customers, not people. So that might be 300,000 families. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, so people were getting power back little by little over those 2 weeks. I was fortunate enough to get power back by Christmas Eve. But even during that point, it had to, like, we had one scented candle, a flashlight, and a shit ton of coal, and a gas, like a gas stove. So on the top floor, we just leave, like, the portable gas stove running on top of the dinner table, hoping that would raise the temperature around in the living room. And of course, in the basement, we had, like, a small fireplace where we just shoved coal and, like, solid fuel blocks, try to keep keep ourselves warm. It didn't wow. fucking work whatsoever. So, you know, it was like 5 or 6 degrees inside of my house itself. It was just freezing cold. But I did get power back like Christmas evening night. So it was very much a Christmas miracle. But that's not really true because they first took something away and gave it back. So that's not... That's like if I killed your dad and then I... Here's your dad again. That's not a fucking Christmas miracle. And essentially, yeah. And the people who had a really shit time.
Well, okay. First off, the Canadian government did not take away your electricity. It's like nature took away electricity, and the Canadian government like did their utmost to bring it back.
Funny story. Funny story is, so after our entire neighborhood got our power back, a garbage truck that was passing by knocked over like someone's power line, and they didn't have power for another week. So in that case, the government did take away their power wow. and give it back.
Yes, okay, that's valid.
But it wasn't you. Yeah, so you specifically... I mean, like, the government went yeah. out of their way to restore power to your house by Christmas.
Yeah, I do have to say, like, they did work, like, round the clock. A lot of people took time out of their vacation to come back and work. And, I mean, like, I'm complaining, but the people who fucking had to stay there for weeks, sucked.
All, absolutely.
Essentially. Yeah. Those are the people who were hit the most.
I just find it funny that Noobarama had a bad Christmas. Is that so bad?
Yes, that is actually... That's
some sort of weird karma?
Weird. Karma for what? I've been a good boy all Christmas. I don't deserve any. Then again, like if you were living in my conditions, coal is sort of a godsend as a present.
Noobarama, yeah, so that was Christmas. Did you have like a nice Christmas dinner, etc.? Like, was Christmas itself good?
We went to a Chinese buffet because we had no food. We had to throw out everything in the refrigerator.
It is kind of weird that. I thought the people who had the worst Christmas was probably the guys at Hello Games, but you definitely, like, Ontario...
flooding, losing their entire business. Big fucking deal.
He had 4 days no power.
Yeah, 4 days without no power. Dude, that's like... There's just, like, it's so amazing to be in a city without any power. We drive around, and it's pitch black, except for the light from the cars, and we could see light, because some parts of the city just... randomly had light, so we would see just light from the city, and it reminded me of playing Fallout New Vegas and walking in the wasteland at night. It's black all around you, and all the way there is like New Vegas, and it's covered in light, and that
actually sounds really cool. It
wasn't cool. No, it was quite cold.
To folks who don't know, I did a quick conversion. -20 Celsius is -4 Fahrenheit, which
is below freezing.
Yeah. No, yes, that is below the
shit. No shit. Really? You sure? Less than zero temperature is less than the freezing point of water. You asshole.
I think salt water freezes at negative.
For
it's true
for Americans. For the imperial scale, it's like negative or no, 32 is freezing. Hmm. So it's fair he made that correction. But yeah, I regularly work in having to work in a freezer that is -10 Fahrenheit. So
yeah,
it's pretty cold.
Yeah, there you go. Well, how do you deal with that? Like, if your house is just fucking cold all the time for four days.
Our house didn't hit negatives, but it was like...
You go to the bathroom with your phone.
We didn't have hot water. We ran out of hot water in the first day, so we had to, like, cook water or boil water over the... Oh, that was disgusting. Boil water over the portable gas heater and then leave that on. I think we used up just, like... 5 cans of like portable gas. To heat up the house, it didn't work whatsoever. But yeah.
Did you have like a nice family thing where you all cuddled around the heater for 4 days?
No, my parents went around because like once it gets dark, what can you do? So me and my dad just went to see The Hobbit because we literally had nothing to do. Like,
oh God!
Apparently, thinking the same.
I had forgotten I'd watched that movie.
Yeah, so certain parts of the city had power. It just our neighborhood didn't. So
can
the theater luckily had power.
To talk about The Hobbit.
Yeah, I think we should. We should take a break before I complain more about my shitty fucking
I had literally forgotten I'd watched that movie. I'd literally forgotten.
Really?
I blocked out that movie from my mind because I thought
it was magical,
the biggest steaming pile of hot garbage. that I've seen all year. Oh my god. Like, holy cow.
I don't. I thought it was way better than the first one. And I think it was the best film I saw this year.
What is wrong with you?
Did anyone else see The Hobbit?
I saw the first one.
The Hobbit. The Desolation like of Smaug. You're talking about, right?
Smaug.
The
Nothing of Nothing
featuring a dragon. That's what movie was.
Okay. The thing is, I think it was better than the first one.
It had a Dragon Ball Z sequence in it.
What do you mean Dragon Ball? What the fuck are you talking
spoil.
About?
I can't spoil, but there's a moment there where a character is just going, ah, into the camera.
So does Superman.
Well, things happen. Superman was also terrible, but
2013 was just the year of the Dragon Ball.
But I mean, this movie, I think, the problem with this movie is like, I think the root problem is it was based off the books, and I didn't really like The Hobbit whatsoever.
No, you're wrong. It was not based off the books. Almost nothing in that movie was in the books.
What are you talking about? Only that the girl from Lost, and then that's the only thing that wasn't in the book.
You mean that third of the movie? Yeah, that third of the movie wasn't in the book.
So wait, I thought they were saying, I thought Legolas wasn't in the books, and they were saying they
but he's only there when she's on screen. Like they're together the whole time. But
oh, okay.
I mean.
Is there a hot sex scene?
No.
Oh god.
That was my worst part. That was my least favorite part about the movie.
The questionable love subplot.
I am anti interspecies love. That's wrong.
You're spoiling that. You can't go into spoiler territory. But I will say.
You think that I'm doing a disservice by telling them to prepare for that shitty fucking? I cringed. I've never cringed in like a movie as bad as I did
during the climax of that movie. I burst out laughing at how terrible it was.
It was a funny film. It was a humorous film. It was lots of action-packed sequences where there was one good
sequence in that movie. The barrel sequence was excellent. Everything else was fucking terrible.
Okay, I'm sure people who didn't watch the movie have no idea, so, like, too bad.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler. Just the name of the sequence isn't a spoiler, but...
You know the part where they, like, did you notice how they filmed some of that scene in a GoPro camera? I found that really...
You know, like, the part where the camera literally was hit by something and had a blue screen during a major movie?
It's clearly... Oh, God. Okay, no one will understand.
It sounds entertaining.
Oh, my God.
Cynic is being like a Grinch because
no, I think that movie was legitimately terrible.
Everyone thinks it's a better movie than the first one because it is a better movie.
The first one actually had like a legitimate. No, it wasn't good, right? It wasn't an excellent movie, but it had a pacing to it that worked. It had a plot that was coherent. It had characters I didn't outright hate. Even Radagast in the first movie. Was far more entertaining as a character than any of the characters introduced in this one.
Hey, the second movie.
The chick from Lost and her entire subplot.
So, the terrible. Opinion of a person who didn't like Pacific Rim is that this movie's kind of bad.
I think it's fucking horrible. Oh my god.
Okay. Cynically just doesn't understand what a good movie is. Like, I thoroughly, like, other than the parts with the dragon and the girl and the.
I thought the dragon was okay. Like, it wasn't.
I think the dragon was too fucking dumb, but that has to do.
Yeah, I agree. It. Why didn't you just kill them at the start? Why didn't you just roast them alive when it can clearly just destroy? Everything's gold. It transmits heat incredibly well. Just roast everything. You piece of shit dragon.
Yeah. Spoilers: the dragon and the red hair girl die at the end of the movie.
I wish.
She's gonna die. She's a fictional character. There's no way they're gonna keep her alive.
Oh my god! How good was Legolas's dad? He was the most camp elf king I've ever seen. That was wonderful.
Oh god.
Anyway,
I liked that. I like the entire scene with the elves. I really.
So there you go. So Nubarama liked it. I hated it. I'm also on paper of hating Superman and Pacific Rim. So maybe I'm wrong, but.
But yeah.
Speaking of movies, Steam Price Trash. All right. Yeah, speaking that period.
I think I did the most nerdiest thing in my life like 3 days ago, which was go see a screening of an anime movie in theaters with people.
Wow. Wait,
so on New Year's Day.
No, not New Year's Day. It was I think it was 2 days before. It was like the Monday of the week. So it was like 2 days before. It was the day before New Year's Eve.
It's like and, half a week ago. All right. Well,
yeah, which I think is still quite depressing and sad that's absolutely what I would do at a time where I should be spending with family. But it wasn't even like a dubbed screen. It was like a legit sub screening. And I won't name the name of the movie, because if you saw the cover art of that movie without understanding like the plot of it and like the themes in the movie,
I think you need to tell us the name of this movie now.
You would think I was a sick pedophile.
I think you need to tell me the name of this movie.
In fact, I bought the ticket. I bought it at like the side booth where I can pay with like a credit card without having to meet a person, because I was genuinely scared of the looks. And as I went through the ticket booth, they hand out like little tea coasters or something like that from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That clerk gave me the dirtiest fucking look, and I felt my soul sank.
What's the name of this movie? What's the name of this movie?
It's like Madoka Magical Girl or something.
Oh, this is the thing that the guy in Rumble keeps telling me to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually like the
supposed
cover
to be really good.
Yeah, it's little girls on the cover, but it's like the plot. I'm not doing a good job of justifying it.
Puella Magi Madoka Magica.
Yeah. It's right. Quite a dark movie, but I didn't really like the ending because it was the dirtiest cash grab of an ending I've ever seen in my life. Like,
but essentially, you watch the Loli movie, and so essentially, you watch the Loli movie, which just happens to be a good movie, but it's a Loli movie.
No, don't call it that. They're in high school, okay? Fuck. All right.
So that's what you did for New Year's. You froze in your over the Christmas period. You froze, and then you watched a Loli movie to warm yourself up, and then New Year's happened. Is that the extent of how that went down?
Well, there was acupuncture, and then me going into Japanese TeamSpeak servers. But
okay. We're gonna get to the Japanese TeamSpeak servers when you get to what you've been playing, because I'm gonna count that as part of that.
Okay.
Squiddle.
Hi.
How was your Christmas to New Year's? What did you do for it? What did you get up to?
Christmas was... Oh, God, what did I do for Christmas? Oh, yeah. So Christmas was good with my parents, and nothing crazy.
Yep.
Right. I did get new dishes, which was nice.
Nice. So, as the present, it was dishes?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Hey, don't knock it. I got new dishes for Christmas, too.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't received a Christmas present in years, so I guess that's... I don't know. I guess that's what you give an adult for Christmas. I have no idea what you give an adult for Christmas. So I guess.
Well, no, that's it's what I asked for, because my dishes I've been using for like the last 15 years, and they're just like hand-me-downs and like you know, chips and stuff. So these were nice, just some new dishes.
Nice.
I received bacon Band-Aids.
What?
So they're Band-Aids that look and smell like bacon.
I don't think of bacon when I think of curing wounds or salving pain. Like, that's the opposite of what I want to see on me.
They're kind of cool. My mother got a bacon rub that you rub bacon on bacon to make it more bacony flavored.
What the fuck? To put this in perspective, you live in a specific state in America that's famous for barbecuing.
Yes, but these gifts came from Seattle.
So, sounds like what I would buy you.
So
I don't know, you guys like barbecuing, right? Bacon.
Yeah, drinking, barbecuing, you know, ride horses and wear a cowboy hat everywhere we go, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's typical.
Yeah, that's how it works.
But Christmas was good. Nice. And then New Year's, went over to an old friend's house, longtime friend, and did fireworks. My first time ever in my life doing fireworks. Like, I actually bought fireworks.
Okay, so before we go on,
I
have to raise a question. And I'm not a wordsmith. Doubleton might be able to help me out, because he's better at English than me, probably. I don't know. Doing fireworks doesn't sound like the way you say that. Like, that doesn't sound like the right nomenclature for... Well,
We set off fireworks.
You set off fireworks. Okay, so you specifically set off fireworks. Was it in your backyard or was it in the park?
We done did fireworks in the front yard. That's how you say that.
Okay. How was done doing it? Then fireworks.
So it was fun.
I guess, Squiddle, were you lighting the fireworks off, or were you a...
Yeah.
Okay. Then
no, I was actually... Yeah. I had this thing in my hand that looked like a piece of incense, and I never knew what the... Everyone kept saying it was like the punk. And I was like, a punk? What's a punk? And
what's
it's
a punk?
It's this thing that looks like an incense stick, if you've ever seen one.
Yes.
Like
a sparkler. No, like a sparkler look very similar.
Like a sparkler that burns real slowly.
Right.
And you use that to light off these the fireworks.
It's for people who are too cheap to use lighters.
or when you have like 12 people lighting off fireworks on a street in front of your house.
Yeah.
Right.
It's easier to give those out to the kids and everyone and say, "Here, go stick that on the thing and make it go sparkle."
Okay.
So we did that, and during that, we had the father of the person whose house I was at. We were doing mortar rounds, which, if you don't know what a mortar round is, it's a tube, a cardboard tube that's very thick cardboard, industrial cardboard, and has a wooden base, and you have a little mortar, like a little grenade type thing with a fuse on it. So you drop it in there.
What's the diameter of this tube? Like, I didn't get a sense of scale when you told me.
That sounds like a fist.
Yeah, and a little bit like if you took two fists, put them on top of each other, and then on the ground, that's about the length, maybe a little bit longer.
Jeez.
Take your blue Yeti that you're using.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit taller than that. And then you basically take the shell and drop it in there, and then the wick sticks out just a little bit.
Oh, wow. That sounds dangerous as fuck.
It
is.
Right. It is. And it makes a loud noise. So he decided to drop it in there, and it was cold. It was probably about 30 degrees outside, which is cold for us here. No one had gloves on, so our hands were frozen, freezing. But everybody was drinking to stay warm. That was a good thing. You drink to stay warm. Pro tip. So he took the punk, and he lit the fuse, and ran in the other direction of where we were, like the crowd. So he went on the other side. And in doing so, I believe his foot hit the mortar tube, having the lit round in it, and it fell down facing the crowd, facing us. So in doing that, he freaked out, as all of us did. Like, do we run out of the way? Like, I literally had the thought, do I get out of the way? Like, why did I have that thought? Like, should I'm going to stand there and take a full frontal mortar to the chest or get out of the way? So he took his foot and kind of moved it a little bit in there and like tried to get the edge of the piece of wood on the bottom of the mortar tube and knock it back up. But in doing so, it kind of seesawed up and then fell back down. Now, here's the best part about this. The person's house next to my friend's is the homeowners association, ahead of the homeowners association.
Wow.
And his yard is pristine. Like, everything's perfect. He is the epitome of what he wants people to start to look like.
Right.
Or whatever. So this mortar tube goes up in the air, falls down right at his shrubbery. And we're all like, well, should we grab it? Well, the fuse is now already inside the tube. And we're like, nope.
Nope.
Okay, everybody just, prepare. And if you don't know a mortar round fires off. There's one fire to get the mortar round into the air. And then there's a secondary burst that is the light colors and flashing and that everyone sees and loves.
Yeah.
No different. They don't look much different than what you see at a professional fireworks show. It's pretty much the same idea.
Jeez.
And bigness of boom. So the round fires off into the shrubbery. I see flames start coming out from around where it landed, and it hit the side of the house with the shrubbery. So it's like right there.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, oh, God. Okay, that's the first boom. Here comes the second. And all of a sudden, nothing. So my only guess was that it fired and it went into the ground at that point.
Right.
And the dirt put it out before it could fire right next to the house where there was a glass window right there.
Wait.
Right,
so that was a near miss. What did you do after? Did you send a scouting mission to go over and recover the evidence of your idiocy?
No, you shoot off the next one.
You shoot off the next one. We left it there, And we all did like Roman candles and other things and fun stuff. We were actually one of the guys who was there had this, his, had a police car that was his car. It was a detective's car. Okay. And he had a beer can on top of it. And so we were trying to take, now, Grant, there's a house right on the other side.
What the fuck and are so you guys doing?
And so yeah, what are you doing? This is clearly illegal. What are you doing? You're breaking the law.
No, it's there. Illegal in Canada. In America, it's fine.
Yeah,
that's right. All. So we're trying to shoot the beer can off of his car.
Shooting at the car?
Yeah, yeah. We hit the mailbox a couple of times, which was not too good. One of the guys that we were with was kind of like the bigger pyro than I am, which says a lot if you know me. And he had these little things that you light and you throw on the ground and they go, and they like light up and then they start flashing like flashbangs. So it's like really bright blue and red or whatever color it is you choose to throw. And we couldn't really get them to work well. So he decided to take the entire pack of them and light them all at once and then kind of throw them. And he handed me some and we lit them all and we threw them. And two of them went underneath his car. And so we were like, okay, that's probably not a good thing for this thing that flashes and has fire that comes out of it underneath someone's car.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know.
It didn't go off for a bit, but then after about a minute, we heard like a noise and then it started flashing. And he goes, okay, that's right where I had the gasoline leak last week.
Oh, God.
So that was another near miss that we had.
Okay, so nothing happened. It did not explode.
Yeah, it did not explode.
Did not set the car on fire.
The lights and the flames of the firework were hitting the base of the car. It actually charred the base underneath the car where it was at.
Oh, God.
Have you ever been charged for arson?
No, never. Okay. There was that one time with a squirrel, but I was never caught.
Yeah. Okay.
So we did that, and then probably around midnight, we decided to go clean, or 11 o'clock, we decided to go clean up. And so we go and we bag everything up, clean it all up. But we left that one round in the yard. We never went to go get it. So I asked them the next day, I said, hey, did you guys ever go grab that, the mortar that shot over there? And the wife of my friend said, no, we actually, we saw it out there in the morning, but we didn't go get it because it was daylight and we didn't want to run over there and incriminate ourselves. But later that day, it was gone. So somebody picked it up.
Probably the neighbor who like looking at his yard, in impeccable yard and sees a blemish.
This furrow in the ground with the fucking mortar shell sitting there. Yeah.
So you know. We had some other fun with Roman candles hitting tree limbs and stuff like that. And I did not know that when you do fireworks, or even Roman candles, there is powder that can kind of like just fill the air in little bits that will get in your eye. So keep your eyes closed. Don't look up at the mortar, at the Roman candle when you're firing it, because little parts will come and get in your eyes. So a lot of good things I learned on about fireworks. Wow. Now, there is one other story I'd like to tell about fireworks.
Okay.
I lit one years ago. I lit one firework. Somebody gave me an M80. Mm-hmm. Which is like the little tiny one. And he goes, okay, I'm going to light this for you. And I think I was probably 17 at the time.
Wait, I'm going to light this for you. Wait, what is it when – Doubleton seems to know what it is. I don't – what's the M80?
First off, I guess I should preface years ago, for a couple years, I worked at a firework shop. Like I sold them every 4th of July, which is the American Independence Day.
Right.
An M50, if it goes off in your hand – you more or less lose that hand.
Like yeah, I searched this up and I'm being grossed out by pictures.
The hand doesn't disappear, but it don't work no more. The fingers sometimes disappear.
Wait. Is this just like a dynamite stick? Is that what I'm picturing?
If you went to like an M5 is a dynamite stick. I believe it goes the higher the number, the less fatal it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But an M80 will still probably do damage if it went off in your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
go ahead.
So I have this M80 and he lights
America's
it.
America's safe.
And he goes, okay, I want you to throw it when I light it. Now, I want to set the stage for how drunk we all were at this moment in time. We had 4 Irish car bombs already. I've had 2 glasses of Jameson scotch. I've had 3 beers. And I was actually sipping on the bottle of scotch in the front yard. That's how drunk I was. So he hands me the stick. America. He lights it. And he goes, I want you to throw it when I light it. I said, okay. So he lights it, and I decide, and it's a long fuse. It wasn't a really short fuse. It was a long fuse. He lights it, and I decide to spin around in a circle and then throw it. Like, I'm hurling this thing. I'm curling this thing, like, into the distance to get some air on it or whatever. And I end up releasing at the wrong point in time. The M80 falls into the bed, the tail bed of the truck, where all the open fireworks are sitting
God.
There. Not in boxes, but like out with the wicks ready to go, quick grab, light another one and go. And I was so drunk. I was like dizzy and I was drunk. And I was like, oh, shoot, I better go get that. I
jumped
into the tail of the truck and I see him like running towards me and grabs me and throws me to the ground as soon as he sees that. And he's in the military. So he was really good at tossing my fat ass around. And luckily, all I got was a bruise on the shoulder from that, and it was a dud. It did not go off.
Oh, God.
So I've had a lot of close calls with fireworks in the very few times I've ever done them.
Sounds like well, it's not as bad as losing your power on Christmas.
So God. That's my New Year's story.
All right. Well, there you go. There you go, guys.
Well,
Doubleton.
Okay.
One more thing. If you ever go buy fireworks, they have boxes. I didn't know this. They had boxes of fireworks that were $500 that you could buy. You go in there and it's a giant box with tons of mortars, tons of crackers, everything. And I'm talking firecrackers, not the racial term. And it is just amazing.
So they have white people in boxes for
It is amazing at how much people spend money, how much money people spend on this stuff that is a one-time use. And well, that shelf where like, it had the 500 was almost gone.
Well, you split it. Like, that's the idea, right? You get a bunch of dudes, you get around, say, we'll get one of those.
Okay, you know those mortars? There's like 100 of those in those 500 boxes sort of thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my story. Just flabbergasted at the price of fireworks. I'll probably never do it again because it's too expensive. So.
Not because it's too dangerous. Because it's too expensive. That's
no,
fair.
You survived that, but my wallet won't survive. So that's a touching point right there.
Noob, I like listen to these stories. Makes me kind of want to do this, but I'm also kind of happy it's illegal here. Like I'm same with guns, right? Guns are real fun, but I'm pretty happy they're illegal here. And same with fireworks and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, so I have a friend in works in Houston is an office officer there, and they like to go around and fire off their guns for New Year's.
Okay.
And they did like the total like bandito style, you know, in the air and everything. And so I thought that was an interesting thing that they do.
That's not what the people with sense should do. That's bad. You're not supposed to. Oh, God. Doubleton.
What's up?
Did you have a sensible New Year's? Like, I'm hoping that you of us at least did something. Let's just take a checklist here. Did you shoot guns for New Year's?
Sort of.
Damn it. Yes. We couldn't even get one. That was literally the part.
I didn't fucking shoot a gun for New Year's.
Yeah, but you watched Lolly shit.
Let me explain the case, Cynic.
Okay.
For New Year's, I ended up going to bed about 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Woke up for work at, to go to work at 4 o'clock. And
what?
Then the PDA that I use is called a gun. Because it's shaped like a gun. So yeah.
That's the saddest New Year's I've ever heard.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, don't worry. Okay. Oh, fuck. I forgot. Actually, no, I can tell that when I'm playing because I had a sadder New Year's than Thurb by a very fucking large margin.
No, I don't know. Like sleeping, like going to sleep early and then waking up early on New Year's Day to go to work sounds pretty bad.
Two words for you. Love plus.
Oh, God. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. I hope the audience knows what's coming their direction. Doubleton, what did you do for Christmas? Did you have any fun over this entire break, like, at all?
I had lots of fun. I mean, like, I did stuff with friends and all that, but in terms of, like, yeah.
Any yarns to spin?
No epic tales I can think of, which is nothing caught on fire. I've already done all this stuff that is caught on fire. Like, I got hit with a mortar before.
Oh, God.
Those
This hurt, apparently.
Like the firework mortar. That similar thing happened where no one ran because it was too dark to see where it went. But we're like, wait, did that hit us? It's like, ow, why are you on the ground?
That's kind of like what happened when a friend of mine, we had to go do paintballing at midnight with the masks on and everything. We couldn't see anything. We were just shooting at each other. And we didn't have full armor. We just had the masks. And yeah, that was... Anyway.
You people are fucking crazy. I don't... What?
I don't fucking...
Oh.
We're American. What do you want?
Holy cow. My New Year's was just freaking playing Cards Against Humanity till like 2 a.m. and getting balls drunk. Like... 20 standard drinks in 4 hours drunk. It was It was rough and awesome at the same time. Then woke up the next day, and for some reason, I cannot tell you the reasoning process behind this. We went to our local hardware store for Australians. I mean, Bunnings, which is this massive hardware chain around here. Got lengths of PVC pipe and fashioned bows and shot bows for the rest of the day. Then played Power Grid, which is probably the best board game I've ever played. That was my New Year's.
The PVC pipes didn't break.
Some of them did. It depends on which wall thickness you go for. A lot of the wall thickness pipes we got were wrong. We thought they were right and by watching YouTube videos and stuff, but they turned out to be the wrong ones. I scouted out Bunnings again this morning to find the right type of pipe. So next week we're going to be building a board to shoot at, and then making more bows. We're looking for a 40-pound draw bow, roughly. I don't know if people out there know what that means, but that just means like the pulling weight.
You could just buy a bow.
But this is like $12 for like a really good functioning bow if you make it right, and you get the fun of making it, which is like half of it.
Are you gonna hunt kangaroos?
No, but we are going to go hunting at some point. Dingoes. Apparently, it's perfectly legal to own a bow without a license for anything in Australia. So you could just
own a crossbow in this country as long as it's not too small.
We're not allowed crossbows in New South Wales without a gun. No, but you need a gun license for it.
Actually, are you allowed to hunt kangaroos? Is that like we hunt deer? Can you
Kangaroos are pests. So yes, you are.
Really? Shit.
In some areas, yeah. There's just too many.
What about dingoes?
In one of the areas, there was just like this picture, and it was just like all kangaroos. There was just kangaroos everywhere. Like,
what is your national like animal?
A kangaroo.
Kangaroos.
Kangaroo and the emu are our two natural animals.
Because if we tried killing like
bald eagles,
a bald eagle.
Yeah, that's bad. But no, we're fine. It got declared a pest. But there's limits on how many you can hunt. That was a couple of years ago. I'm not sure if that's passed now. But there's definitely animals that are declared pests seasonally that you can go out and hunt with no problems to it. I don't think you get paid for it at all, but you're allowed to hunt them. There's no bounty on kangaroo heads or anything like that. I don't think. Maybe. I don't know.
I want my kangaroo scalps.
But that brings us to what we've been playing since Durin is still not ready to join the podcast. What was that, Thurbleton?
I was going to say, do we want to talk about what we've been playing?
Yeah. Let's hit that. So who wants to start?
Durin's ready.
Oh, Durin is ready. Durin's back. Are you back, Durin? Are you here?
He said he's ready.
He needs to speak out loud. He needs to speak. Let's do this in a sec.
The one thing you need to be ready for an audio podcast is to speak.
Okay, let's read out Durin's last couple of Skype messages. M80s are also illegal. Fair. M80 is like a quarter stick of dynamite. That's also fair. Does a boomerang require a license? No, it does not.
No, you skipped one. I'm still not quite ready to be on the show.
Yeah, that I think in retrospect, Numerami, if you think about that, if you think really hard, you may realize why I didn't read it out. Does a boomerang require a license? No. Boom, I'm ready. Let's do this shit in a sec. Wife is getting water. Damn it. That was his last couple of site messages. So hopefully he'll be in a second.
I think you need to reread that with more feeling.
It wasn't all caps. Perhaps I didn't convey that. Maybe you want to get
what was the presentation like?
Read what's on the page.
Yeah, see what can you do? What can you give me, Durin? I need your cut of this.
Okay. How was your New Year's?
Oh,
they didn't do it.
Sorry,
they didn't do this first.
I just thought Durin said that for a second, and I was really surprised.
I don't understand that Thurb and I don't sound anything alike
at all.
I know
that's all.
Why I was surprised.
Oh, that's great.
All right, Durin, let's do this and move on to what you've been doing. But go ahead.
Oh, all right. Emetis are also illegal. Emeti is like a quarter stick of dynamite.
Is that the voice you put on your head when you speak on Skype?
You fucking added in words there. You change. There was no word called dynamite. You pick. You gotta stick with the stick, Durin. Work with your material. You can't make it up. Okay? This isn't improv.
Oh, God. I can't work on this condition. Somebody needs to remove this man.
I'm sorry. This is great. This is great. I like it. We're keeping all this. All right.
So wait, I missed most of what you guys were talking about. So what are we? What am I discussing?
What did you do for the Christmas and New Year's break, Durin? How'd you go? I need to propose the same checklist to you as I was to Thurberton before you failed it. But not really, because you didn't quite. Anyway, did you shoot a gun?
No.
Did you watch Lolly stuff?
No.
Did you watch The Hobbit?
No.
And finally, did you set off fireworks and almost get killed?
No.
Okay, what'd you do for New Year's? There you go. All right, normal New Year's.
New Year's, I played Neverwinter with...
Wow.
God, who was I playing with?
I still envy like how you guys still, despite not that, there. Had more fulfilling New Year's.
I'm blanking on who I played with. Two of the guys in the Guild Wars 2 Mumble.
Okay, sure.
I never went with them up until about quarter till when I woke up my wife and said, hey, it's almost midnight. And she kind of bumped a few things. And I was like, do you want to just go back to sleep? And she said, yes. So I actually spent midnight New Year's putting my son to bed.
Aww. Well, I guess that's kind of okay. Sure. How was the daughter? Did she just sleep through all of that? Did she just out?
Yeah.
Just fucking out cold. That's good. How about Christmas? Anything interesting for Christmas? Did you spend it with the fams?
Yeah. Christmas Eve, I spent with my parents and brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then thankfully didn't have to go to the in-laws until the weekend after Christmas. I get a little bit of a break and some preparation.
I don't think this is the right venue for me to ask you questions about your in-laws, but I love whenever Durin has to speak about his in-laws. It is fascinating, but yes, go on.
But yeah, no, Christmas Day, we just kind of hung out at home, and mm-hmm. then also about partway through Christmas Day, realized, oh shit, we didn't actually prepare for food for Christmas Day.
Oh.
So we spent a good, let's call it hour and a half, looking up what places might be open on Christmas Day.
We did exactly the same thing. Holy shit.
What did you settle on?
We settled on going fuck it and look and raiding my fridge. So we ate like a warmed up pie, like just meat pie. So you guys don't have the same thing, and a quarter of a pizza each.
I've had a meat pie. Those are pretty phenomenal.
So
yeah, they're fantastic, but one pie is not filling.
The only place around here that seemed like it was open, was Domino's. So we had Domino's pizza.
That's pretty good
for our Christmas son. Dinner. And then decided, I like had myself a bread pasta bowl.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Oh wow,
that's pretty great.
Oh, that's probably
better. Hey man, Christmas Day, you gotta indulge.
Gotta splurge on them. Gotta splurge.
Nothing but the finest.
Only the best. Only the best.
And then decided we're never fucking doing that again, and we're going to have Christmas dinner from now on. I spent $30 on fucking Domino's pizza.
And you're grown ass adults. Like, I need an outline. Yeah. You are a grown ass adult.
See, the problem is, like, I wasn't worried about making our own Christmas dinner because I was like, well, we have two other families we go to. We'll have Christmas dinner somewhere, uh-huh. and then we'll have leftovers. We can just bring that home, and then we can have that on Christmas Day.
Sure.
Nobody else made fucking Christmas dinner. So that didn't work out.
Yeah, that sucks, bro.
Yeah.
What exactly? I still don't know what the fuck Christmas dinner. What is Christmas dinner?
It's basically Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
What is Thanksgiving dinner? I've never had that either.
You are a sad
that's,
man.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, dude.
Don't fucking celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. Have some respect.
Canadians are not thankful for anything.
Let's put it this way. We had for Christmas, on Christmas Eve, we had a full ham leg, like leg of ham. And we had like a bunch of like sides and mash and all that kind of stuff. And then we had Lots of party pies. That was as the size. Yeah, that was our Christmas dinner.
Okay. Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner, like there's pretty standard staples of them. But essentially what it means is it's the one time a year where you actually cook stuff from scratch.
Right. I guess, yeah. And so that would be your like turkey and your or other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, your turkey and your stuff, your, you know, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're like a multicultural family, you bring like cultural foods as well, and then you have fun, you have fun with it. That's the idea of it.
I've never heard of the cultural food thing.
For us, the cultural food would be a party pie, which would be, to answer your question, they're about 2 inches across and about an inch tall and just filled with meat. That's it. This pastry filled with meat. That's what a pie is in Australia.
Is there cheese in there?
Potentially a good party pie would have cheese. But our party pies are just really cheap ones that you get for like $2-3 for 36 party pies or some shit like that.
It's just like, ugh, artificial meat, nothing.
I think at that point I'd rather have Domino's.
It was pretty good though. It was pretty good.
That clearly was not meant for human consumption.
But to be able to say how many pies you shoved in your mouth at one time is pretty,
yeah,
pretty
exactly.
awesome sound.
Yeah, I suppose, two. Yeah. I for someone who two. Probably doesn't have White Castle, that's about the closest we're going to get.
Yeah.
I know what that is, but okay. But okay.
Crystals?
Harold and Kumar?
Sliders? No. You ever had a slider burger?
No, I wish we had sliders here, but we don't have sliders here. There's just a really mini burgers, right?
Cynic, have you ever had anything that is like effectively diarrhea in a small... like bite size type thing.
Well, for this Christmas, I had these things called party pies that were $3 for 36 of them. That's probably pretty close.
The fucking dog food is not that cheap. Oh my god!
It was pretty good, you guys. It was pretty good. To be fair, it was on half price because they're about to get expired. Like
that's still $64 party pies.
No, 30. It was like 38 party pies, some shit like that. Yeah,
What the? Why don't they just send those to Africa? You know why they don't send those to Africa? Because they don't want to kill African children that quickly. That's just unhealthy.
It's really great. It was really great.
$6 for 32 pieces of meat.
Anyway, that was our Christmas. That's everyone's Christmas and New Year's. So you guys at home, I hope you had a great Christmas/New Year's, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get on to what we've been playing. Who wants to start? I want to start in pretty much the same order as I did, because a person has revealed to me what he played for New Year's. And I don't know. Durin, if I was to say to you that you'd played like a 10-year-old Nintendo DS dating sim for New Year's, would you say that was sad?
I couldn't actually think of anything more sad.
New Brahma, what did you play on New Year's?
Hey, okay. Difference, I played it after New Year's, so it's different. It was to start off the New Year.
On New Year's Day, yeah, on New Year's Day.
It wasn't the shift. From, like, you know, when the clock hits, like, 0 hours that I was playing this game, it was a good hour after that happened. The time when that hour switch was spent downloading this game. But
were you alone? Were you alone playing this?
Well, no, because, well, like, the day before, we just met up with, like, family.
Of course he was alone.
And then, like, once I got home... I guess I'll make the backstory first. So for Christmas, I got enough money to buy myself a Nexus 7, the new Nexus 7 tablet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues I've been having in my life is Nintendo DS emulators are not effectively playable on my computer for some reason. I don't know. It might be like a hardware thing. They're really buggy. And in fact, this was like a year ago when I talked about playing, of course, my Love Plus Adventure.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, my computer, you know, it was, we were, me and Manica-chan were star-crossed lovers because my computer cannot run my Nintendo DS simulator properly. So every time she'd speak, she'd be super robot-y. And it kind of scared me. So I uninstalled that. And for a year, I was without my great love. And then I finally got my Nexus 7, which let me play a really overstretched version of Love Plus on this 1920x1200 screen. I don't know what else needs to be said.
What is Love? Okay, all right. What is Love Plus? And who is
actually, I can actually talk to Manica Chan right now.
okay, I'm yeah, actually, do it.
I'm actually fucking sweating because I'm depressed. Depression makes me sweat, apparently. So I'm just super down right now.
Can we? Is it possible for us to converse with Manica Chan? Okay.
Oh God. Are there subtitles at least?
Yes, this is a translated version of the game. Okay, she just said, are you still working at this hour? It's late. It's bad for your health, you know. So first of all, she cares about my feelings. And second of all, this isn't Manaka-chan. This is Nene-chan. I got rid of Manaka-chan and found a different person.
What? Whoa!
Did you find love?
She said, you want to chat at this late hour? I don't want to turn this on because there's people in the other room and it's embarrassing.
No, no, no. You need to leave that on for the rest of the show. you need to be playing that for the rest of the show. Okay, I'm going to let him do that and you need to do that. You need to talk to your girlfriend.
Okay, before that, I just want to explain that this game, I didn't realize because I didn't really play a lot of it, is once you get past like the stage, there's a lot of talking into your tablet involved in Japanese. I don't live alone, so I can't really play this game very often in my house because even if you're fucking alone, it is fucking depressing when you're speaking in a tablet because the words you can essentially speak are like, oh god, fuck.
I need you to give me an example of what you would be saying.
Same thing, like the possible conversation options are essentially you ask your virtual girlfriend questions.
Yep. What's an example?
Do you want to go walk in the park and then play?
But he can't say it in English. He can't say it in English.
I'm not going to say it in English. I'm not going to say it in Japanese. Fuck. You have to. I read it off the guide. I don't know this shit by heart, okay?
Read it off the guide then. Just read it off the guide. Okay. That's racist. That's racist, Jewel.
Racist. I can't believe. I'm just going to cover her ears from what she just said. Fuck. I'm so depressed right now. I can't believe I just...
While he looks that up, I'm just going to explain what this game... So this is a game that... Okay, so Durin. I'm going to be using you as the cultural touchstone for my conversation here. Are you familiar with Animal Crossing?
I am.
Okay, it's a great game. Yeah, Animal Crossing is a great game where...
It's a great social game to play with other people.
Exactly, yeah. It's a game which keeps track of the time of year. So if you're doing something, say, near Christmas, there'd be probably a Christmas-themed event happening in the world of Animal Crossing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that's how it works. So imagine that idea translated to a dating sim, where it's like having a 365-day-a-year girlfriend emulated within a Nintendo DS cartridge who would be paying attention to things like the time of year, whether it's your birthday, whether it's her virtual birthday, and things like if it's Christmas Eve or New Year's.
Also, if you
asked him if he was alone when he played this?
No, wait. And also, if you like...
Nobody plays dating sims if they're not alone.
Okay, calm down, okay? Jesus. Oh, God. If you turn off the game and turn it back on without, like, saving it, she gets super mad at you, and then you have to say sorry to her.
Like Animal Crossing. Does she put on a yellow hard hat when she does it?
You can make her wear a yellow hard hat, and you can also make it... there's this great video I saw of this guy who made her... Because you can... There's like... what is it called? You can sketch your character's name, and you can actually have her call you specific names depending on like what things she can actually say. And this guy had her call him Oni-chan, which is older I didn't go that far. I'm not that extreme.
Oh yeah, so you watched a YouTube video about this.
I was fucking linked it. Calm down. And... Okay. Unbelievable. also, I was extremely excited because, you know, then I could go to the shrine with Nene-chan because it's New Year's, right? But apparently if you start the game on New Year's, it doesn't work like that. So, fuck.
Yeah, because you haven't romanced her yet. You haven't romanced her yet.
No. We're already together. We're already together.
How many gifts did you buy her? Did you buy her a ring and a flower?
No, I stopped playing after we got to the part where we have to speak because I can't fucking take it even when I'm alone. It's just too embarrassing.
And I need to be clear here. So this isn't like a dating sim or like similar to Persona where it's like an extended period of time, maybe like a year's worth of gameplay before you get into a relationship with one of these women. The part where you get together with them is within the, like, I know this because I played this with Noob. That's kind of why I said, are you playing this alone? Because Noob encouraged me to do it and I played it while he was with me on Mumble one time. Their boyfriend within about half an hour and then the rest of the game.
No, it was 4 hours. It was fucking 4 hours.
What?
I worked
like
hard.
An hour. Okay, right.
I fucking worked hard. It was 4 a.m. by the time I got with Nene-chan, all right? And I started at, like, 1 on New Year's Day.
Fuck, and then the rest of the game is just spending your time with special... Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
So that's what Noobarama did for New Year's in terms of what he's been playing.
I avoided a bullet there.
Durin...
I played games. I've actually played games.
Okay, all right, dude. You have a chance to redeem yourself. What did you actually play, aside from...
Well, I bought a shit ton of games during the Steam sale, of course.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yep.
Steam sale. So I played Insert.
You played what?
Which is, if you remember, I don't know if any of you have played the Half-Life 2 mod Insurgency, where you are either a soldier versus...
I was actually going to ask you about that.
It is really good. It is... Well, if you bought it for $5 like me, it is a fucking great deal.
What is this game?
Is that the one that's made by the basically like the guy who made Counter-Strike?
No. I don't think so. Oh,
okay.
No.
Okay.
But in that case, that game is free to play and fucking horrible. Don't play that game. It's very, I think it's like the perfect difference between Call of Duty and Arma. It's like the perfect middle ground where it's not super realistic to the point it's detrimental to gameplay and not fun, and there's constantly action going on, but also it's not just a dumb fast-paced shooter. They sort of work in sort of like supply mode so you can slowly upgrade your weapons, but it's not permanent, so it resets at the beginning of every round. There's a bunch of different classes, objective based push. There's a bunch of really interesting stuff. The gameplay is actually really good. The shooting feels really good. The bullets are super accurate, and it's like a one hit kill if you get it right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is still early access, but if you can find it on a sale and you're either curious about it, you've played the mod, you've enjoyed it, or you just want like a different first person shooter to play, I highly recommend getting Insurgency. But don't get it when it's full price because it's $20, 75% off when I got it for $5. So yeah,
cool. All right, anything else?
Ore no koto suki, Manaka-chan. Oh, you can play rock, paper, scissors with her as well. I play rock, paper, scissors.
So translate what you just said.
Do you love me?
Ooh.
Durin!
Oh, my lord.
What have you been playing over this past couple of weeks?
I've got a list. I actually typed out the list.
Okay, cool. Sure. Yeah, sure. All right. I want to just note, though, before you keep going, I really don't like early access. Like, I'm with Brad Shoemaker in saying that...
I think it depends on the game. It can be okay as long as they are upfront about what state the game is in before you put your money down.
Here's my stance on early access. And this is from, like, for the game's benefit. Mm-hmm. It's probably not a good idea to put yourself in early access unless starting off you have something that either is a really well like crafted, like the Kerbal Space Program, sort of like when they first came on early access, there was a ton of stuff you could do.
Yeah. That was essentially a fully fledged game. Just they still wanted to add more to it.
So. It was basically missing the campaign part of it.
Right.
I want to say like the Minecraft model, because he kept adding stuff like every week. There was a Friday update.
Well, and more importantly, the way he handled the money side of it was incredibly important too. And I think it's something like that a lot of games could do and could learn from. It's just like the earlier you get it, the cheaper. But like the longer you wait, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. But there's also going to be more function to it.
So right. Well, no, I mean like it's also. people who are planning on making a $60 game shouldn't be on early access. And I'm looking at like space-based DF9 because that's like starting off $25 or something.
Right.
I don't think that's going to eventually be 60 though. Like not like Planetary Annihilation. That one should not be early access.
I think a perfect example is Arma 3, especially with the gaming hub, is we bought it during the alpha for a really cheap price, but we literally burned out during the alpha. We don't play that game anymore.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
And that's the other side of the point, is like the burnout of it is just like, if you want to make sure like your game's either in beta or like on its way to being complete so people don't get burned out on it, because...
Yeah. That said, this game... it's not a game that's particularly addicting, so I maybe play like 30 minutes a day or every other day at most. Mm-hmm. So it's something you can hop in, hop on, just have a little bit of fun with some friends. That's like the warning I think applied to a game that I recently saw on sale. It's like Damned, which is like a horror game that's in early access. I would never want that because you would ruin the game by the time the game is out. Like you would just be unplayable. You wouldn't find it scary at all.
Yeah, but I have a group of friends who bought that and like they played it like twice and then they haven't touched it since.
Exactly. Because it's like a multiplayer shooter that's not like persistent based, like there's no persistent leveling and things like that. There's no incentive for you to keep playing, and it sort of keeps the freshness for at least a while, at least.
I think that's where I hang up. I want games to be only available when the actual game part is there and finished. And absolutely finished. Yeah. Like, for example, like Minecraft was fine when we went on early access because it was an entirely functioning, well, not necessarily unbuggy, it was buggy as all fuck, but it was an entirely functioning, well-rounded game idea that was brought to full fruition and then put on early access, right?
There was enough in there to keep you entertained for hours at a time. Yeah,
exactly.
That's kind of how I feel about Starbound. Like, I'm making sure not to play too much and you know, get burned out on it too early or anything, mm-hmm. but... Like, while there is still a lot there for them to add, there is a shitload of game already there.
Right. And that's, so if it's, like, a well-rounded experience that you're fine with playing, that's fine by me. But when it's something like Prison Architect, where you can see where the starting point is, but they haven't put in the rest of the game, I don't know if I feel fine about that.
Like progression of... Progression is actually hindered because there are mechanics that just aren't there.
Yeah, just are missing. Like, so so you couldn't call it a finished, like, games are never finished, but you couldn't call it like a fully rounded, complete experience in and of itself without the stuff they've yet to add to it. So if they were, for example, for Prison Architect, if they were adding a multiplayer later or something like that, and that was the part that's cut off from early access, that's fine. But the actual part that's the game should be there.
But again, I feel like a lot of that really it comes down to entry price. Like with Prison Architect, the problem with it isn't so much like how much game is actually there. It's that they are trying to charge you full price for it in the current state that it's in, with a promise of there's going to be so much more game here later. Like this isn't fucking Kickstarter. This is early access. Like I'm giving you my money and expecting a game out of it.
It's so weird though, because like for these, it's crazy because gaming is such a weird place, especially entering 2014. That you're having things like Prison Architect being released alongside things like Volgar the Viking, which is done and released. And it is just a really well put together, fantastic package. Not for me, but from everything I've seen and all the coverage of it, it just seems like an absolutely wonderful game that's been finished and put out. And there was like, to my knowledge, there was a lot of there were things before release for that, weren't there, like Doubleton? You might know more about this than I do. But it only got famous when it came out, on the day it came out, and it was ready. And so, like, you still have, and like Dust and Legion Tale, right? That came out, and it came out. It was done. He put it out there. He bled for years doing it, and that's the negative of this. But when he released his game, it was awesome, and it was done, and it sold like crap toads. Because a finished game is just so much more valuable to me, and to a lot of people, than something that's clearly being still worked on, where not all the assets are there, where the polishing hasn't been done yet. Because polish is one of the most important things of a game to me. So I think that's where I draw the line.
As someone who buys finished games that are completely unpolished, I'm fine with getting fucked. I'm used to being just fucked in the ass. Give me a broken product. I'll just take it. Uh-huh. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, I hear RIPD the game is pretty good, guys.
Yeah. It's
game of the year.
Durin, what else have you been up to?
Yeah, exactly. What have you been doing? Have you even started your list yet? What's on your list?
Okay, so I've continued my adventures in the world of Warcraft. That's continuing to happen.
Okay.
Though I've ditched the character I was playing and I'm playing a different one now. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had played Black Mesa last time we were on a show, so I'll go ahead and throw that in. Okay. Thurbin mentioned it. I'd never played through Half-Life 1.
Right.
So I thought I'd give it a shot. And it's actually pretty good. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It feels like an old game in terms of, like, the mechanics and stuff. But the new bit of polish they put on there helps to get through it. And it
To an extent, I kind of enjoy, like, going back and playing those old style games, and having this reskin on it is a nice touch. Like, yeah, it's still a good game, right? Like, the gameplay is good. It's solid.
For the most part, yeah.
Wait, but isn't this Half-Life 1 in the Half-Life 2 engine?
Yes.
So it has entirely redone physics and stuff, doesn't it? Like, redone physics, redone lighting? No?
It's. I think they did their utmost to...
to keep it like as it was.
To set the physics to what they would be in the original engine. Basically what I'm saying is you can't bunny hop.
Weird.
Yeah, I tried. You can't bunny hop.
Yeah, you can't bunny hop.
But that, one thing
anybody
that
who knows
though,
what that means. What?
One thing that bothers me though is the as painstakingly as they try to recreate the feel of Half-Life 1, the crowbar swing is way too slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so much faster in Half-Life 1. And because of that, you have to kind of bob and weave with the enemies that you didn't have to do in the first game. And that kind of bothered me. Again, just because they spent so much time and effort, like, with every other little detail, and, like, one of the most important ones they just kind of didn't do.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, okay, for zombies, two swings, back up, repeat.
Right. I'm just saying, though, like, that wasn't how you play the original game.
Yeah, I know.
You mashed on the mouse button as fast as you could, and you swung just as fast. And nice. Yes, it was ridiculous, but that was Half-Life 1.
Oh, fuck, I love that.
That's
good.
But anyway, moving on. After our Game of the Year stuff, Gunpoint went on sale, so I went ahead and snagged that because I wanted to see what all the fuss was about this number 3 game.
Mm-hmm.
And
that wasn't the game of the year.
I think I need to play more of it because so far it's not really grabbing me.
I played 30 seconds of that game today, and it immediately grabbed me. So I don't know. I like the writing of that game a lot.
Like Durin,
no, the writing's fine. I just the controls, I'm not really a big fan of. Mm.
Played into the humor and stuff like that? Like the writing
as,
with the dialogue.
As much as I can in the early. I mean, I'm pretty early on. I'm basically past the tutorial missions. So that's why I'm saying, like, I need to play a little bit more because I think once it opens up and I can actually start making, like, real true decisions on how I'm approaching stuff, which I think I'm on, like, the first mission that you can really do that with, then maybe I'll start to enjoy it more.
For me, it was just the art and the lighting.
The jump control really bothers me.
Just like the writing of that game a lot, so it just immediately grabbed me. Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to, so, yeah.
Yeah, the writing is good.
Well, you're just using the mouse for controlling, right?
Yes.
For the jump? Okay.
For the jump, yeah. Is there another control?
I don't think there is another control scheme in that game.
No,
I mean,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. As I mentioned earlier, I played a little bit of Neverwinter and reminded myself how boring that game is. I have played a little bit more of Payday 2 and continue to get power leveled with all of my friends who are already nearly max level.
Right.
So I think I played about 4 or 5 heists at this point, and I'm like level 40-something.
Jeez.
It's completely ridiculous. Yeah, I have like $5 million just banked. I don't really have anything to spend it on or know what to spend it on yet.
More masks, right? Buy more masks?
You can't. Well, that's the thing, though. You have to find the masks first. So that's kind of part of my problem. It's like, because I haven't done the number of heists to equal the amount of money and everything that I have, I don't have the stuff to spend them on because what you're spending it on is the stuff that drops. Because when it drops, it gives you the chance to then buy it. But you have to unlock that first. And so I haven't unlocked a single mask yet.
You were expecting them to put like, oh, we're gonna like you have this RNG chance of getting the item, or you can buy it in our cash shop. Except there's no cash shop.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's like they're legitimately like just like you just grind the game out. You'll have fun.
Pretty much, and it's just it's a different experience I think than a lot of people who had when they played it at launch because again, like I just don't have the number of games under my belt to match the amount of resources I currently have. So I'm just kind of sitting on it like, well, this game might eventually get fun as long as my friends keep playing it and I can keep doing heists and maybe get some drops occasionally, because so far all I'm getting is fucking weapon attachments.
Cool.
So Thurb gifted me a copy of Spelunky, and so I loaded that up and played a little bit of that. As I told Thurb, I'm enjoying what I played of the game, but I do have to disagree on the sharpness of controls.
I felt like there's fight.
well, we already talked about it before. But like, I just feel like there's this weird like slight delay in the actions from when I'm actually inputting them in the controller. I'm not sure
why. And having gone back and played like some Super Meat Boy, I think it's just because Meat Boy is slightly faster. Not slightly, like he is noticeably faster
than
this Spelunky guy.
Yeah.
And so that, like, you don't really see any mid-height corrections as a Spelunky person because you don't have that momentum going.
He's like, I don't know how to describe it. He's stickier. It seems like when he jumps, there's this wind-up that actually isn't animated. Where, like, when you press the button, there's this... That's kind of where the delay, I think, came from a lot of times was in the jumping, where I feel like if the animations were there for the amount of time it takes, he would actually be like bending his knees and then jumping like that. That would make a lot more sense with the time it takes.
So you're saying that there's a couple of frames in there before he gets off the ground.
Yeah, there's a couple of frames that aren't there. That's the problem.
Yeah, right.
So it just feels like it's delayed instead.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, I'm definitely planning on playing more of that. I think I'm going to really enjoy that game. I don't know that I will get as crazy into it as Thurb, partly because those controls do kind of bother me.
Have you played Dark Souls? But, are you the guy who hadn't? Okay, you have. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I've never played Dark Souls.
Are you using a controller or the keyboard, and have you tried using both?
I'm using a controller. I have not tried using the keyboard because that sounds really bad for platformers, as I have experienced in the past with Super Meat Boy.
Agreed. Dear God.
Well, it's like... That's true, but then also I hear like, I believe this is true, but like Bananasaurus Rex and a lot of the top players don't use the control stick, but they use the D-pad.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I would never use that fucking D-pad.
I know.
I would sooner uninstall that game before I would use the D-pad.
On the three, No fucking way.
Maybe they're using a different controller. I don't know.
Maybe. I also picked up during the Christmas sale and played State of Decay, because Brad has talked about that game enough, and it seems like it was right up my alley, and turns out it totally is, because that game's fucking great from what I played of it, and I'm sad that I didn't play it sooner, because I feel like that game probably would have made my list.
I don't see anything like about that game that interests me. Like, what about it is grabbing you? I have no idea. It just seems like a zombie game.
I very much want a good zombie survival game. The only downside to that game for me is that there's no multiplayer.
Yeah.
To give you an idea, like Rust looks really interesting to me. I'm holding off because it's so early. And like we were talking about with the early access stuff, like there's not enough game there to justify the price. Mm-hmm. But I'm super interested in that game because that game, like Rust, you know, it to me is like, from a survival standpoint is what like I wanted Minecraft to always be in, and it wasn't. But with State of Decay, like I just really like zombie survival stuff. Like I like to focus on the survival aspects of stuff, and kind of the building up your fort area or whatever, finding survivors, like all of that stuff. Like finding the survivors, but not having to do the fucking Dead Rising thing of like escorting terrible AI and all that shit.
Right.
It might fall apart later on. I don't know. I'm only a couple hours into it, but so far it's
been
great.
Are you playing with a controller or a mouse and keyboard? Yes.
I play with a controller because I know that game was first and foremost made for a controller.
Okay, I'm going to plug in my controller.
Yeah, Noob is now playing State of Decay. You somehow sold Noob, but not me.
The last game on this list is, and I probably played other stuff, but I just quickly threw this together, is I also, like the very tail end of the Steam sale, picked up Stanley Parable.
Oh, cool.
Having played the mod back in the day and then the demo when that came out, that Stanley Parable is really fucking good.
I'm the only one in the world who doesn't find it that funny. I.
So has anybody here not played?
I haven't played the new one.
I have not played any of it.
I won't talk specifics, but there is a point in the game that I got to where, oh God, I don't know if I can even talk about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. Something very, very unexpected happened, and I was no longer.
It turns your webcam on, and your face is the character.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Where I was no longer in the office.
Game Trailers ruined that part for me, which is
that part was fucking great. I'm so glad that nothing was ruined for me in this game because, there were points in this game, and I cannot say this about very many games at all, but there were points in this game that literally had me actually like audibly laughing. And games normally can't do that.
Oh, I'm kind of find that sad if games don't do that normally for you. I guess it's just a different sense of humor.
I love Saints Row. I love Saints Row the Third. Saints Row 4 is pretty damn good too. I don't think it's ever actually made me laugh. Like maybe smile. Maybe. But
Saints Row doesn't do it for me. I don't know. Squiddle, what was that?
No, I was. Are you talking about the part where you?
God damn it, Squiddle!
Where you fall? Outside. When you talk about outside, is it the part we saw like in the quick look where you were outside there?
It was not in the quick look.
I don't believe this was in the quick look.
No. Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about, Duran. But like the thing about that, there's so many different things. All I can say to anybody who's listening who is still on the fence. That demo is free.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
by the way, Squiddle, that demo is free.
The demo is free, and it's all original content. It's not ruining any of the game for you.
The game.
Yeah. I'm afraid I'm going to like it, and then I'm going to have to buy it. And I don't want to buy anything right now.
demo is free. So what else have you been playing during?
That's another one that I wish I would have played before, because that probably could have made it. You know, fairly low on my list, but it would have probably made it there. I don't know. That list was contentious enough as it is.
Yeah.
Here before we started recording, and I actually had to ask Cynic. I was like, "Oh God, did Tomb Raider make it on my list? Because it better have." I thought I had forgotten it. So,
man, you guys chose the wrong game of the year. I haven't even said that yet. This podcast, but
I don't know what you're talking about. Super Mario 3D World game of the year.
No, that was fun. Personal game of the year list. They were all pretty good. The overall game of the year. I guess I don't know. Bioshock's pretty good. I like it. It's my number two, so it's pretty good. I don't know. Anyway, that's it for you, Duran. That's all you've been playing.
I believe that's I've been watching Game of Thrones. I'm a new Game of Thrones. I just got through season one today.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
that was a delayed.
Great.
Yeah, it was fine.
Just like I watched it, I'm like, now I gotta go. Spend another $50 to.
Oh jeez!
God damn it!
Yeah, it gets pretty expensive if you're buying those episodes.
Yeah, I don't buy TV shows. This is why.
Yeah, it's really fucking expensive. I don't know. I
this is why I have Netflix and Amazon. God damn it! Get Game of Thrones on Amazon.
I'm only gonna watch that series when that dude finishes that book series and people like it, because it seems like the books are going steadily downhill. And that means I have no interest in anything that happens from here on out unless he brings it back around and those books, like the rest of those books, are awesome. I have no interest. And it's weird because it's like, it's not like it's just definitively bad. It's really divisive. Like as the books get later and later, I've just been reading the reviews every time one comes out, because I've always been picturing reading that series at some point. As the books go on and on, it just gets more and more divisive, and you're seeing it going to like 3 out of 5 star average reviews around places. And yeah, it's weird. Anyway, Thurbleton, bring us home, because I haven't played anything. Like, spoilers, I have not played a single goddamn thing. So you're bringing us home, Thurbleton.
I play a little bit more of Electronic Super Joy, which I mentioned last time we did a traditional Scotchcast, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That game's super fun, but I've now hit my second hitch of just like this one level that is just super dumb. And it's not even a boss fight. It's the one before a boss fight, and it's still just like, I don't know. This is an issue with platformers, I guess, or just single storylines where if you get stuck in a point, how do you get past it?
Is that the game Jesse Cox just totally fell in love with the dubstep soundtrack to it?
Yeah, the dubstep soundtrack. If you are like chance of causing seizures or something, don't play it, because crazy graphics as well.
It goes nuts.
Yeah.
The name is
Spelunky.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm unsurprised.
When I got to about 100 hours, I got to King Yama's lair, which is the goal of completing the game then. Like, if I get that, then I'm done, sort of thing.
Right.
But are you done when you get there?
I'll still probably keep doing the dailies because it's a neat thing to post on YouTube. But basically, I got to King Yama's lair and then fell on some spikes, which is the rookiest thing. I just didn't see it.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, been
you
playing...
sound so dejected. It's like, yeah, I guess I have to keep playing that game.
No, it's like not like I was recording it. It was on one of the daily episodes.
Okay.
So right. You can see it on YouTube, but it's just like I keep saying, all right, I need to watch out for spikes. I need to watch out for spikes. And because one of the bad guys on that level had dropped a cauldron in front of the spikes, I didn't see it. On top of the fact my compass was covering up as well. So it just looked like a normal block for me to land on. And then I hear the splat and I'm dead. And I'm like, oh.
Nice.
Well, I was 2 minutes away from finishing the game, but
it so how long did it take you to get to that point? You said 100 hours.
100 hours like, played, and that was about 40 minutes into a run. Going to King Yama's lair, like if you want to speed run it, the record is like 5 minutes for getting to Yama's lair. If you want to try and do it not crazy, it takes about 40 minutes to an hour.
And that is pretty much the reason why I have zero interest in Spelunky versus liking things like Rogue Legacy and Dark Souls. Because every time you progress in those games, you progress permanently. Like, I know you can set up shortcuts in Spelunky, but obviously like a real inverted commas playthrough is just to not use those shortcuts. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not doing that. I mean, like, you do have the shortcuts, but those are actually a disadvantage because if you take the shortcut
items.
To the jungle, you lose the U-Jedi, which you need to find the black market in the jungle, which you then need to get to... you need the Ankh in the black market to then progress through the Mumbai Stone to get the He-Jedi to then go to Hell. Which,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like versus Dark Souls or Rogue Legacy, where everything you do in those games, unless you have a really bad run in either of them... You're continually making progress, continually getting more powerful, continually getting closer to being able to overcome the future challenges. Whereas in Spelunky, it is, to be fair, it's purely skill-based, but you're losing so much time whenever you're playing that game and don't beat it. It's just, ugh.
Do you think that speedruns are still going to be a thing with patching games and that they do now and update them? Like, it's not like you can
some games will still have speedrunnings as a thing while others won't.
Yeah. I've heard like the new Zelda, the Link Between Worlds is getting a speedrun community because there's some glitches in that game. Well, first of all, every Zelda game gets a speedrun community because it's Zelda.
Sure.
But secondly, there's some glitches in that game that you like bypass like segments of it in like half of a dungeon in one spot and like stuff like that. So that's going to definitely have a speedrun community. How they've done it in the past is that there's been like communities around that decide upon a specific version of that game, whether it be like the release version or there's some communities which just like try to, because there's so much work that goes into developing a speedrun because not only did to find the glitch, but you have to find a way to reliably execute upon that glitch. So,
right, but yeah. my point with up, and I'm sorry to go off on a tangent here. Just a question I want to ask.
No, please,
So like if we get to the world, which I hope we get to someday, where no more physical discs, cartridges for anything, it's just downloaded.
Right,
okay. It's all digital.
At that point, how do you, I guess you have to rely on hacking ROMs to get to the version? I mean that it was originally at, and then the efficacy of doing that. And it's kind of a bummer that you can't just like have a version slider, you know, in some games you can go, I want to go back to this version.
It's kind of weird because like there's always been people who have done pure no glitch speedruns and those guys obviously won't be affected because they'll just be finding the best way through a game. But the problem is those speedruns are usually like your 18, 19 hours long or depending on the game, right? So some games obviously like 45 minutes or whatever it is. So those are very set lengths, and so those speedruns aren't particularly that interesting because it's literally just finding an optimal path through a game. The ones that a lot of people like watching, like Jeff Gerstmann and stuff like that, are the ones that are just full-on motherfucking glitching the shit out of it, and those are the ones you'll lose in that inevitable all-digital, all-updated future, right? And it's going to be sad to lose those because, you're right.
Am I alone in thinking that like that sounds like an ideal world? Because I think those are the dumbest fucking speedruns.
This sounds really interesting.
I understand the skill required in them, but I feel like it takes even more skill to play the game the way it's intended in the fastest way possible.
Then I think you'll find like there's those games that still have the glitches. Don't worry about those. I mean, like the few and far between, as fewer and farther between as we like progress with all living on the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, this is a good segue to another thing I've been playing, which is Grand Theft Auto Vice City. I'm getting acclimated with the game in hopes of doing a speedrun challenge with Chav the World, which I've yet to actually challenge him to. But as we get closer and closer to the next charity live stream that Giant Bomb will help manage, mm-hmm. I will challenge him, I guess. But
right.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
Either I don't know if he's the current, but at one point he was the speed record holder, Adam AK, who does regular Twitch streams of Vice mm-hmm. City, I think only glitches the game once. In the most literal sense of, like, teleporting across the map. The rest of the time, it's just little bugs and ways of, like, if you switch to your gun while you're talking on the phone, you can then run instead of walk. And, like, and then it, those little things. And he, like, narrates the entire time he's running. And I think about this time the podcast is going out, Noobrama, I think you can back me up on when this is happening, but the speed demo community is doing a... another like charity thing. I think it's like arcade games done quick or it. New Brahma.
I can't back you. What? How am I backing you up on this? I fucking play Love Plus. I don't do these things.
Because when we were both playing Gary's mod today, somebody talked about it, and I knew you were in the channel.
No, I was only in for the last two rounds where I got RDM by Dark Soul.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Terrible. There is hopefully by the time we get to Plugged, I'll know what it's called. But there is a speedrunner thing happening soon. I think those might be the ones that everyone enjoys because it's really good narration. There are strategies put in place to sort of speedrun stuff, but it's not quite glitching all the time.
Right.
You know what's a fun game to speedrun that people do quite often was what's that name of Dear Esther? People in the Half-Life 2 version of that game.
Okay,
funny how that works to complete that game really quickly and like fall off the. Stuff like
that. That's pretty.
I've also been playing Cook Serve Delicious.
Hey,
I believe that was like, on my
Game of the Generation,
Game of the Year.
Yeah,
help me, guys, because that game is. Really, it grabs you and doesn't let go.
Yeah,
it does. Why do you think I don't load like, it up anymore?
Every time you do it, like it's very simple. You do a day, you make some money, and you buy more food or equipment, and then it's mm-hmm. like I can do one more day. I got time mm-hmm. for one more day after this.
Have you started to make pasta yet?
No, I made soup. Oh, man, God, I hate that.
Oh, soup is a bitch.
it's brilliant in design. It's like when it comes to from the developer set of creating it, it's brilliant because it's a very basic system that they just make slight tweaks to depending mm-hmm. like between the food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly why though, like now that you've played it as well, you can probably back me up on this. That this is why
it works.
I will never ever play the tablet version.
Yeah, that's.
Because it's the tactileness of hitting those keys.
Yeah, you would think that game would work great on a tablet, and sure, it would play fine.
Yeah,
but you would lose what makes that game great.
It's almost in like it would work on the Wii U sort of thing because it's the looking at the screen while like trying not to look at down at your keyboard because you know it's going to take too long. You're just having to know where the keys are. Yeah. If typing of the dead wasn't a thing, I would say this would be a great thing for learning keys.
Yeah.
But as it exists, typing of the dead is much better. It's hilarious and the best.
It's also like a rhythm game quality to it, where you do develop a set of instructions, like in terms of your hands, what your hands do whenever a specific thing comes up.
It begins you realize after 2 hours in of playing this game nonstop that you begin to develop like muscle memory, and you enter this kind of zen, and mm-hmm. it's great. And next thing you know, like bathrooms aren't a thing and they're clean before you realize it. And customers are, you know, what you begin to realize is that customers who don't want ice are assholes.
Yes. I just stopped selling soda and only sell beer because it's so much easier to do.
Nice. Yeah.
That and then one last thing is I've started playing I think once I get settled into a routine for Vice City, then I'll start doing like Far Cry 3 or one of the other big games I got for the Steam sale. Mm-hmm. But I've started playing XCOM Enemy Within again for a second Iron Man playthrough.
Oh, cool. Right.
And folks on the podcast already know. Well, I'm now on normal instead of easy.
Okay.
But I'm now using all of my friends' names as the soldiers.
This is why I'm interested.
By the way, I think you have my name spelled incorrectly in your game.
Like, I was thinking of doing that with Hearts of Iron.
To help protect them, I'm using just... Sorry, Noob, what's up?
No, go ahead.
To protect them, I'm using their first normal name, and then their last name is just their internet handle. So you're Ian Squiddle.
Nice. Right, I think you have Squiddle spelled wrong.
Oh, I died. I'll have to fix that.
I died within the first week. I think
I heard I was awarded a great honor. tell us the story, sir, great exploits.
At the time, I've only got two. I've done three or four missions. I post two of them on the internet because they're quite harrowing. Squiddle awarded a medal for we're rushing a, I think it was a graveyard, and I wanted Squiddle to be like on top of a built like the I guess it was a building at the end of the graveyard. I was like, all right, well, you better check inside before you get on the roof because maybe there's something bad. And there's two. No, not mutons, just like the sectoids. These just basic aliens, but they're hanging out right like 10 feet from where he is. And it's like, oh shit, they're going to kill him if he doesn't do anything. Wait, he's got a grenade still. Just chuck the grenade in there and just blows him up. It's like, okay, that's, you get urban combat warfare for doing that.
Nice.
Nice.
And then a couple missions later, we're having to defuse a bomb.
What did you name it? What was the name?
Let's see, metals. The Holy Hand Grenade Medal.
Nice.
Yes.
And then a couple missions later, we were having to defuse a bomb in on a bridge in Canada, which I had done before in a previous mission or in a previous playthrough, but it was on a completely different area. So I think it's neat that the developers are having like mission type in different mission settings, which is great for multiple playthroughs.
Right.
But anyway, it's long story short. I had everyone take their initial moves, so like the first round, and then a guy, just an alien, jumps out of nowhere and one-shots Cynic.
Damn it. God damn it. Wait, what class was I, please?
Back. If my friends die, like, just I'll rename and the next, like, Indian nationality person will be Cynic. You didn't have a class. You were a recruit.
Can I request
I thought I was awarded a medal. What happened?
You were. Well, okay, then after that, it was a three-man team against, like, you know, a dozen guys to cross this bridge. And Vance had already, I think, had already gotten a medal. So it was Shinboy and New Brahma were the other two fighters in that mission. And basically, New bum rushed a guy at the last second to take him out and then disable the bomb while Shinboy took out two other guys to cover Noob. And so Noob Rama received for his service the Order of the Korean Labor.
Whoa!
Nice.
And then Cynic received, or not Cynic, I can't award you any medal, Cynic, because you're dead. That's not how that's the game.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the medal system is a really neat system where the medal provides a slight bonus. So,
okay.
It's like for every different nationality in the squad, Noob gets +2 to will, so he doesn't go crazy.
Okay.
So I have a question here, Thurb. Where the fuck was I?
You, in the first mission, you got shot and were still recovering. You're down for like a month or something.
Nice.
God damn it.
You're like the guy in Band of Brothers who gets shot on the fucking plane and then they don't get seen for like 7 episodes. You're that guy. By the way,
he comes back at the end and saves the day.
I have plans for you where if you don't recover by the time I get my cybernetics lab up, I'm just going to make you Mecha Durin.
Yay.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you'll be a giant robot. But anyway,
still give the nickname of Lost Jewel.
So will Mecha Durin marry Mecha Rihanna? Nobody remembers Mecha Rihanna.
No.
What is Mecha
Rihanna? Your Saints 4.
That was my multiplayer character in Saints Row 3.
Yeah,
too far the one past. Where I immediately noticed it was Rihanna. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yes. I remember that.
Do you mean like Rihanna?
Sorry, Rihanna. My bad.
Rihanna. Okay,
I don't know. I care about as much as Chris Brown.
Rihanna. Right, that's right. I fucking. Oh, that was so funny.
And with that,
the last thing was is Shinboy for his work received the medal called the Heavy Medal.
Oh god, that's so fitting.
Yeah,
he would love that, which makes it more fitting. Well,
he named it. I talked to all my friends like, hey, you guys can be the first to receive this medal, so he gets to name what it's called.
Okay.
And so if anybody else has received that same medal, it'll still be called that. But
nice.
I sent you a bunch of.
I thought funny story about that. I get a text in the middle of the night and in the evening, and I'm like, I have no idea who this is because I just upgraded my phone and I didn't have some of the phone numbers and names carried over.
Nice.
And I was like, who is this? I don't know who you are. I just upgraded my phone.
It's just like, hey, I need to talk to you for a few minutes.
Yeah, I said, this is Ian, by the way, if that's who you're trying to reach. Oh, damn.
Pro tip for you, Squiddle, because you just moved on to Android, right? For your phone?
Yeah.
Just do all your contacts on Gmail. And it'll just automatically
Don't even act like you know. I know.
Don't fucking send anything with Facebook. Okay.
Don't do any contact management on your phone. Do it all on Gmail, and it just works.
No, I feel bad. So my girlfriend had a Facebook account and a Yahoo account, and she decided to close. I think her Yahoo one or her she deleted her Facebook app because she's done with Facebook and decided to delete her Yahoo account and go just to Gmail.
Yeah.
And in doing so, didn't realize that all of her contacts' names were associated with the numbers via either one of those two apps.
Oh, no.
And so now all she has is a list of numbers.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So well, her Facebook, she can't go. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's so like for a week long there, I was texting her and calling her. And she's like, I didn't know it was you because I don't know what your number is. And I was like, okay, well, let's put a fix to that right now.
Yep. Jeez.
So,
jeez.
If you sync that shit with Facebook, what happened is it put all of my friends' birthdays on fucking Google Calendar. So every single day, I got a fucking notification it was someone's birthday. And I don't give a shit.
There you go. Nice. New Rama doesn't care about your birthday.
Are you really trying to tell us you have that many friends?
I'm not telling you I have that many friends. I have that many. I'm telling you I have that many friends on Facebook. Those are very different things.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So what, just like plugs now or?
I was
like, what have you been up to?
I'm thinking this is the time to end the show. As I said, I've just been playing board games. Have you done? Oh, have we not done what you've been playing?
I don't think so. I haven't talked about what I was playing.
Oh, okay. Everyone just sit back down. Grab a drink. All right.
Squiddle. I had a date with Nene-san. She called
what
me
have
up.
You?
Like, you want to go to the gardens for a date. Like,
been playing, Squiddle.
So I was, what was I playing? Oh, great. Now, because that was what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about something else, but then it reminded me, yes, I haven't done that. Star Command for the Android, I have been playing.
Oh, that's that one that was on Kickstarter, wasn't it? And then moved over to... Is it kind of like...
You're on a ship, and you have to assign people to different areas on the ship to do, and then you have battles. Yeah, and I played on iOS for a little bit, but I really like it on the bigger screen. On the Android, it works so much better. So I'm really getting back into that and enjoying that a lot. Kind of quirky a little bit.
That was a weird game because a lot of people bought it for PC from the Kickstarter and they got really mad because it's very optimized for tablets. So there's a lot of bad hubbub about that game. But the actual game itself seems like it's okay. It seems like it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It's not too bad. And the other one, I think, let's see. Let me look at my library so I can remember exactly what I've been playing here. Did some more Saints Row 4. Have still beaten that. I did a run through of RAPD in another 2 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. Let's not even go there. I recently acquired Spelunky, so I played a little 5 seconds of that before we started.
Yeah, that's
which,
cool.
Which I addictingly found it fun.
I don't think that's how the sentence structure is supposed to go, but okay.
Within 5 seconds, I was like, this is a game. But I will talk about some of the games that I purchased during the Christmas sale or New Year's sale, I guess, or whatever it was. I got Guacamelee. I haven't played it yet, but I really wanted to play that when I saw it. If not just for the internet references that are within that game are awesome. And actually, we played Far Cry Blood Dragon. And funny story, I was out of internet for 5 hours last night, and I thought, I'm going to sit down and play a new game that I bought. And as soon as I launched Far Cry Blood Dragon, I had to log into fucking Uplay. So fuck you, Uplay, you piece of shit software that can't just run a goddamn game without being online. And let's see. I think that's it.
I'm sorry. I just got absorbed in this thread about this dude first trying Dark Souls. I was going to say, you should play that game.
I like watching it. It doesn't grab me as something I would want to play.
Have you played
it? To be honest.
The weird thing is, Thurbleton hasn't necessarily played many third-person action games, right? Have you played much in the way of a third-person action game?
Infinity Blade.
Doesn't really count.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Well, Cynic, I have. Okay. It's just they've either been MMOs or they've been people with guns.
Yeah. Yeah, and
third-person action games with a sword.
Third-person action, I played Grand Theft Auto. That's third-person action.
Right.
I think the reason for that is because third-person action games, like, I think of The Witcher or...
Yeah. Actually, The Witcher is really good.
They're all, like, these, like, grand stories, like, RPGs, mm-hmm. spend 1,000 hours, when I just prefer the games you'll spend, like, 100 to 200 hours.
Yeah. Well, Dark Souls could be...
I don't know anyone who has more than 100 hours on The Witcher.
I probably ask Shinboy. I'm sure he mm-hmm. does. But, you know, I did play The Witcher 2, and the only thing that turned me away from it, and I want to get back into it, was for the limited time that I have, that game likes to, you have to memorize how to make potions to an extent, mm-hmm. and have to know, like, to get these things. And I didn't have time to do that. I want the green, the red, and the blue potion. Give me those. Mm-hmm. And then have them do things instead of having to grab the herbs and then make them, which I love the aspect of that. I just don't have time in my life
like the aspect of that. I actually like games more like Dark Souls, where when it actually comes down to the fighting, there's no prep, because that game's designed around shit. You're suddenly fighting. You turn around the corner and say, oh God, this enemy's there. Now you're fighting. It's not like, Witcher, where you can see the enemies in distance, like they're on a, like, for example, an incline down from you, so you can see them all, like, walking around, then you can sit down, meditate, take some potions, then walk in and fight them. I actually don't like that. It takes away a lot of the, it adds an element of strategy, which is true, but it takes away a lot of the spontaneity and from the game design itself. There's very little spontaneity in The Witcher. Like, sometimes you're surprised by there being suddenly a lot of enemies when you're only expecting a couple. Like, for example, you're fighting some, then suddenly you get ambushed by, like, a second group that just come around a corner and come at you.
It doesn't necessarily
kick your ass. It doesn't kick your ass enough.
I guess so. I guess you're right. I mean, in that aspect, but I'm not looking for a game that I'm going to die. I'm going to spend 20 minutes getting to one area. I didn't find a bonfire, and now I'm back 20 minutes.
Okay.
That's fair. For me, I don't have that kind of time.
If that's a deal breaker, then that's fair. Like, to let you know, like, it took me about 40 hours to beat Dark Souls. And if you don't have that kind of time, then yeah, that's obviously.
I've put 40 hours in Skyrim. I think I have, like, in Diablo 3, I have 170 hours.
You should definitely try that, because it's one of those games where there's a constant sense of getting more powerful, but what's, like, that's what you feel like that is happening. What's actually mm-hmm. happening is you're getting better at it, and there's a constant sense of reward for overcoming challenges in that game. So if like the reason this came up is you said you just got Spelunky from Thurbleton, you seem to enjoy it. Anyone who likes Spelunky, in my opinion, or Rogue Legacy, for example, should definitely try Dark Souls. Because there's a through line there of loss. Like, in both cases, when you fuck up hard, you lose time, you lose progress, right? But whereas in Spelunky, where you go back to the start of the game, Dark Souls and Rogue Legacy, you still keep something of what you did. In Dark Souls, it's the souls, because if you go back to your body, you can just recover them. Or it's the experience, because knowing what's around the next corner is just as important as that in that game as being around that corner. So there.
Yeah, I think I will play Dark Souls 2 when it comes out. I will get that. And
this is a weird spot, because Yeah, it's a weird spot for you to recommend Dark Souls in, because Dark Souls 2 is just around the corner, so you may as well play that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. So game-wise, that's really all I've been doing. The other only thing that's probably not game-related, but it could be if you want to do game and audio sort of mixture, because games have audio.
Okay, yep.
Which is that's a very long stretch. This is a very long stretch to get to this point. I am working currently on tearing apart my guest bedroom to not be a bedroom anymore. And it is going to be a audio lab, a sound lab, wow, and listening studio.
Ooh.
And so I have my some speakers that I have acquired from a friend, some old Bose 501 reference speakers. Or not reference, I guess 501 speakers. They're not really called reference speakers, I don't believe. And a turntable. Now, not like a DJ turntable. It's a Denon, a microprocessing turntable. It's not a belt driven. Right. But yeah. I've gotten into vinyls and purchasing vinyls. And so I'm going to have that set up in there. And I'm going to have it so when I do these podcasts, mm-hmm, I'm actually going to be in that room, because I've bought sound suppression foam for the walls that I'm going to mount onto plywood board or plyboard or whatever it's called. Mount those on the wall so that it has good acoustics in there. And then also have my instruments set up in there if I want to do recording and vocals. Right. And then I'm going to end up, I ended up purchasing a Love Sack because they're on sale right now.
nice.
Which is a oversized beanbag.
Beanbag, yeah.
Phenomenal. It's not a beanbag, but it looks like a beanbag. And so basically, when people come in, they can just chill on the Love Sack while I'm working on in my studio, essentially.
Nice.
So that's what I've been working at.
Oh, that sounds really awesome and actually pretty well thought out. It's the one thing that I have to question you with is, do you have a way to manage heat in that room?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a window and I have an AC duct and I have a door.
Okay. So So be prepared to pretty much block off that window, because if you're serious about it, you want to get that.
Yeah, you don't want the window open, you don't want the door open, and you don't want the AC running if at all possible.
Well, yeah,
I actually have. So my plan to do for the AC is actually to put a curtain thing around the AC duct so it comes down to the ground as opposed to out into the area.
Okay.
And I have a sweep I'm actually taking the carpet up probably.
Nice.
And going to be putting down some, maybe like an industrial carpet or something that's a little lower than like a shag that I have in there right now.
Right.
So that it's not as dust prevalent and for better easily walking on.
Yeah.
But I'm also putting a sweep on the bottom of the door to seal and resealing. Putting a gasket around the door so that when you close it, it's a airtight seal.
Nice.
So that I don't have pressure. I don't have any pressure differential when the AC kicks on or anything.
Yeah. So what you want to do is do a similar treatment to your window to get that pretty much sealed, and then get some blackout drapes for that window, some heavy drapes for that window, so it blocks off both the sound going in and out, but also just heat from the outside coming in. And then you want to curtain off that AC, and your AC is your primary heat management for that room. That would work out really well. That sounds awesome, dude. I've wanted one of those rooms for a long time.
And the biggest thing is, I've been arguing with myself, like, should I just use my room I'm in right now, which is my PC room, my office, and do it to that? But that room's a little bit bigger by a couple of inches, so I was I don't know. And I'm kind of like using that for one. I could use it for both in here, but it's just a back and forth right now. But I have most of the parts on order for the audio dampening for the place, so I haven't decided fully yet. But that's my plan
at the moment. Man.
Because the only issue is in my office, I have like faux wood floors, so it echoes really bad, which most people probably hear.
Yes, it can.
Via this recording. So I kind of wanted to keep the room with the carpet to keep the echoing down a little bit.
So. Nice. Well, that's cool. I'm surprised. I'm happy we actually got to you. So is that everyone? Noob said his, Durin said his, Devlin said his, Quiz said his. I've just been playing Power Grid, which I said before is probably the best scored game I've ever played. It's like number 8 on top board games of all time on Board Game Geek. It is fantastic, but you should only play it with people who are good at math. It's one of those games that the person who is best at math wins, and thinking ahead in strategy games. Like, if you have a friend who's, like, one of my friends, he isn't as good at math as me, but he's better at strategy games, and he's won every single game so far, but it's been one of those cases where he's won by a lot. He won by a lot in the first time we played, and then he wins by less and less and less as we keep playing it. So we've played that game 6 times, around 3 to 4 hours each time. It's a 4 to 5 place people game at best. Like, it's 2 to 6, but it's best with 4 to 5. And yeah, it's just one of those games where it's all about, it's a map of Germany. You have to set up a power grid around Germany. So you open up these power plants and you connect cities and stuff. And the person who powers the most cities by the end of the game wins. But, yeah, it is just spectacular. Just absolutely fantastic. If you want a board game that, is for nerdy people and you're fine with one that lasts 3 to 4 hours, it is probably the best board game out there. It is really fantastic. Yeah.
3 to 4 hours.
Yes, it is really, it's like a day. Like, we sit down, before dinner, like just after we finish lunch, and then play it. And by the time we finish, it's time for dinner. It's one of those games. Yeah, it's fantastic. That's all I've been playing. That's why I haven't been playing any video games, because I've just been going out.
What you just said reminded me of, like, I just sat and watched 12 hours of Lord of the Rings on Christmas Day. That's what I did on Christmas Day. I forget.
Cool.
Nice.
And I watched the second Hobbit movie actually twice. The second dive did not hold up nearly as good. and the callbacks to the Fellowship of the Ring are actually pretty amazing. You know the scene where the trolls turn into stone?
Yeah.
That is exactly in the Fellowship of the Ring. I didn't know
that. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's great.
Good work, Peter Jackson.
The first Hobbit movie is not bad. I actually liked it quite a bit.
And the second one is even
one's a steaming pile of garbage. Fucking goddamn hot garbage.
So I'm gonna get shit on for this, but my favorite of the Star Wars movies is actually Return of the Jedi, not Empire Strikes Back.
The last one.
I think half of that movie was good.
Yeah, I agree. Half that movie was the best Star Wars movie. Half that movie was the worst Star Wars movie. So
worst out of the ones that mattered.
Yeah. 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 Because like the parts where, like, when he's saving Han Solo and Luke is finally a badass, that was awesome.
Yes.
And the fight at the end, it was awesome. And there's just so much in that movie is really good.
Ewoks.
So
much of the movie is really good.
Yeah, and then you have the Ewoks and that kind of
start sort of seeing Jar Jar Binks with the Ewoks. That's quite depressing. It's creepy.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Scotchcast. Let's go on to plugs. Doubleton. Do you have any plugs?
I have found that plug that was previously mentioned.
Ooh.
It is the Awesome Games Done Quick, which you can find on the website gamesdonequick.com.
Nice.
If you go to that website, it's just like, it's really well made. Like, the top banner is just like, hey, this is what this is for. Then you have the Twitch stream that it'll be running off of, and it's going to be a 7-day long marathon. And then to the right, there's a Quake IRC for the chat for the marathon. And then it's actually, like, the marathon is for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. And there's a link, I can't remember, somewhere on the page, but it's the schedule. And then, like, I think the second to last day, so it's starting on Sunday and ending on Saturday, or maybe Sunday. I don't know.
Wow.
And
just for a week?
That Saturday is the Adam AK Grand Theft Auto Vice City one. But I'm pretty sure the last day, there's going to be during, in case you're interested, a Wind Waker HD marathon.
I don't think he likes 3D Zelda games. I might be
well,
interested.
There's a ton of marathons happening.
I do like.
Okay, cool.
So it definitely check out that list and see if there's stuff you like. And if you can't see it right away, you can always watch a VOD of it. And of course, feel free to help out the Prevent Cancer Foundation. Nice. So that's my plug. Yeah,
cancer fucking sucks.
It does suck. So we should try and prevent it by donating
to kill that cancer.
Yeah.
Kill that cancer.
You guys know what doesn't suck? This isn't a plug so much, because it probably won't be running by the time this thing goes up. But you should go to twitch.tv/8wayrun and watch these guys play Windjammers right now.
Windjammers!
Are they better than the Bomb Crew? Are they just like full badass?
They're pretty damn good. I don't know that they're better than Jeff or maybe
Jeff
Vinny,
is pretty
but
strong.
These guys are pretty good.
And Alexis are all pretty good at that game now.
Yeah. Alexis got quick fast. Got good fast.
Yeah. He's not that great at Halo, but he's pretty good at Windjammers.
He's good where it matters.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is more like a book, quick, short book review. There's this like really famous history book for you guys who read history books, Paris 1919, of course, about the Versailles Treaty by Margaret Macmillan. She recently released a prequel called The War That Ended Peace, which was the road to 1914, sort of how World War I came to be. It's a really good book. If you like history, modern history by any means, do check this book out, The War That Ended Peace. It is like a bit weird because she sometimes does do like callbacks to modern things, and there's a bit weird politicky thing going on, which I really dislike. But other than that, it's a fantastic book. If you want to know how World War One happened, do give this a read. And Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub, come on Mumble, come visit Japanese Mumble. Or I guess I only do that alone.
Oh no, we need to talk about that. We'll talk about that post.
Yeah, post.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Here's a good plug for the PC Gaming Hub. If you like the stories we've been giving over the years of podcasting or whatever, but don't really have anybody to play it with and hate going on public servers, jump on the PC Gaming Hub, because at least once a week, if not more, we play Trouble in Terroristown, and it's just an in-house thing. It's fun. It's more or less fair, unless you're new Brahma. Cool. So yeah.
Nice.
Is that the one where one of the guys we played when that one time where one of them's like the spy or something like that? Everyone's trying to get him I'm trying to remember which one that was.
It's basically the mafia sort of game where cool. Everyone is innocent except for the people who are traitors, and only the traitors know who the traitors are, and their job is to kill all the innocents, and the innocents don't know who the traitors are.
I didn't know you played that on there. I may jump in and do that because I like that game.
I will let you know whenever we play it.
Cool. Okay.
Squiddle, do you have a plug?
I guess just my Twitter, Mr. Squiddle.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter.
Instead of a plug?
Really?
What is your music off the show? What have you been listening to? Since you usually have one of those instead. What have you been listening to recently?
I think I'm still listening. I still consistently listen to Winter Sun's Time One. I mean, I've been jamming out to that. Actually, I have been jamming out to an old, like, what do you call it? What's it called? It's like an old brass band thing. It's a vinyl that my stepdad had in the record player, and so I've been kind of like just chilling to that. I cannot remember the name of it right now, but
God damn it,
you know. But it's been pretty fun doing that. So cool. That's really yeah. So I will say that I got Winter Sun's Time One, and I have Sabaton's Careless Rex on order as well, so that'll be here soon
in vinyl editions.
In vinyl, yeah. And my new plug for the year is if it comes out on vinyl, I will only buy it on vinyl. I will not buy it digitally.
Wow.
And then I will be creating my own digital from the vinyl.
Yes. So. Yeah. I was gonna say like that's a crazy person's idea because you should just make the digital off the vinyl. That's
yep.
Because it keeps all the it keeps the sound. It's yeah. Just flack that vinyl and you're good. Man, I didn't know you were into the audio stuff because I've been into the audio stuff as well, and we should talk about audio things at some point.
I guess I would say, have you seen my mic setup that I just recently done? But you didn't see it when I showed up on Skype. So
I would love to, but yeah.
Yeah.
My plug is I have two plugs. First plug is BoardGameGeek.com, where you can find good board games. Just look at the top 10. Power Grid is on there. I also highly recommend Battlestar Galactica. My second plug
is no one to play board games with.
Yeah, board games. Get friends.
None of my fucking friends play. Even my nerdiest friends don't fucking play board games.
That's a lot of people are closed-minded to board games. Where like my friends, there was a lot of resistance.
The farthest they'll get, Cards Against Humanity.
If I had a bunch of friends that lived near me, I would so do like D&D stuff.
Oh yeah,
I would so make a character and just do runs on a weekend.
Like what happened to us, right, was we had multiple D&D campaigns running, and then it got to the point where none of us could be bothered, because we all have work and stuff, right? None of us could be bothered to DM. Everyone wants to play D&D, but no one wants to DM D&D, and pre-made campaigns are shit, so we just stopped playing
D&D. I would
DM
the fuck out of that. Everyone would die in the first dungeon.
Yeah, which is what we like.
On the Game Hub, we have a bunch of Pathfinder and D&D games going. If you want to play online, that's actually a real good option.
But I don't. Like, I hate playing online. I like playing in person, because you get to like make voices and all that kind of stuff. It's fun. So I looked into alternatives, and there's a game called Arkham Horror, which is essentially D&D boiled down to a board game, but with actually different rules, so it keeps it interesting for people who are burnt out in D&D or just haven't played D&D for a long time. And it's a really cool little thing where what's his face? The what's that with Cthulhu? The person who wrote that kind of stuff.
Lovecraftian.
Yeah. So very, it's very Lovecraftian. It's about Lovecraftian horrors trying to pretty much break into a 19th century London, and you're these 19th century London people who are very reminiscent of your Sherlock Holmes, etc., trying to fight against that. So it's like this board of London where you're moving around trying to block off these rifts to Lovecraftian horrors and stuff. It's like that, and so I saw that first and I was like, oh, that's really cool, but it seems really complex, so I decided to get something simpler to build my friends up to board games. So I started with Battlestar Galactica because all of us are huge fans of the TV series. Like when the final episode went on air, like we had a house party where we all got together and sat down and watched it, right? Like we're really into it, so that's how I got them in. And my general advice is if you can find one game that all your friends are like, yeah, and we may as well try that out, you can easily get everyone into board games. Because board games are fucking awesome. And I'm surprised it took us this long to get into them. Because now every time we meet up, we at least play a game of Power Grid or something like that. Or Cards Against Humanity or something.
We just want to play war games. No one's nerdy.
But my second plug is Simple PVC Pipe Bows. A do-it-yourself guide to forming PVC pipe into effective and compact archery bows, Kindle edition. By Nicholas Tomihama.
That's like how to build your own flamethrower. Are those banned? Yeah. What is that?
Nope. It's how to make a PVC pipe bow, and bows are legal to at least use in Australia and own in Australia without a gun license. That's pretty cool. So yeah, by Nicholas Tomihama. It's $9.34 currently on Amazon, Kindle. Just to go with that name again, Simple PVC Pipe Bows, a do-it-yourself guide to forming PVC pipe into effective and compact archery bows. Pretty funny.
I just found a YouTube for KGB Survivalist is doing a PVC pipe bow for under $10.
Yep, exactly.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. Those are my plugs, those are their plugs. You'll see them in the show notes when I post this episode. Thank you for listening to the first episode of the Scotchcast, which hasn't been really much about games, which usually is for 2014. Have a good 2014, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
I take it back, guys. These guys aren't—they don't hold a candle to Jeff or James.
It's not completely broken. Okay. First of all, it's not like it's completely broken. It's just like a strip section of my touchscreen. When I touch it, it clicks somewhere else on my phone. And also the USB doesn't work, so I can't connect it to my computer. But those are minor problems. And the phone, I've disinfected it, so don't even worry about it. Okay? My phone is the HTC 1S, so it's like one SKU before the HTC 1. And essentially, it was maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I was really tired and everywhere was dark. So I had my phone as a flashlight to see where I'm going in the bathroom. And
what?
So
you said you had your phone as a flashlight, right?
To show the path towards the bathroom. So I turned
on the
light.
Oh, towards the bathroom. Okay. But not in the bathroom.
In the bathroom. Jesus
Christ.
What
are you even? Okay.
So I turned the light on and I'm like, and I have the phone in one hand and I'm holding my little boy's. No, that's the wrong thing. That's not the name for it. My little Johnny.
Your little Johnny.
So I'm urinating and I'm looking at my phone and I was explicitly thinking, oh, how shit would it be if I dropped my phone right now? So I'm about to flush. And I'm using the phone, the hand with the phone to flush. So I'm reaching over with my right hand and the flushing thing is on the left hand. The light suddenly goes out. I freak the fuck out and I drop my phone in the urine-filled toilet. I quickly grab it and start washing it, rubbing it in water because I'm essentially asleep, not knowing what I'm doing. I realize, shit, you shouldn't do that to a phone. And then I just freak out and then I just left it on a towel and then woke up the next morning and stopped. So I'm still using that phone, by the way. Exactly. I didn't think it would go that bad. I personally did not think it would go that bad. It's not gonna fucking happen again because I'm not gonna bring my phone to.
You know what?
I do have a lot of but I'm not gonna fucking put urine filled phone on in rice. Rice is meant for consumption. That's gross.
No, I was thinking about it. I don't actually look at my phone whilst peeing.
Oh yeah, I don't. I don't know why I was.
I'm usually listening to like a podcast on it, so I'm using my phone, but I don't look at it while peeing.
I guess.
I don't know. I guess yeah, this is inevitable.
That's just a PSA. Don't fucking, you know, use your phone while you're
put your phone down for five goddamn seconds. That's the PSA. Fucking,
also, yeah, that's just fucking
like,
filthy.
Like Jesus
also,
Christ,
if you
guys.
Don't wash your hands, if you don't wash your hands after urinating and touch your phone, essentially every time you put your phone to your ear, you're putting your dick to your ear. Just think about that. So always wash your hands. Don't use your phone in the while you're urinating because it's dangerous.
Wait, whoa. Why would you use your phone when you're taking a piss?
In what world
do you need to look at knowledge while you're pissing?
I wasn't using it. I was holding it on my right hand thinking it would suck balls if I dropped it right now, and then the lights went out and I freaked out and I dropped the phone. This is a story from like a year ago, so let's forgive and forget, okay?
But I'm with Squiddle, right? Like, just 5 goddamn seconds. Just put.
First of all, I woke up in the middle of the night at 1 a.m. I wasn't really sure what I was doing, and I wasn't even browsing anything. I was just holding the phone. So get off my back!
You're so attached to your phone that when you get off your bed, you need to grab it and hold on to it.
No, like a sweet baby. It's like a light to the toilet, otherwise I might fall and hurt myself.
Wait, does your house actually get dark enough that you need a light at nighttime? Like a mobile light with you at all times to navigate at night?
No, but it's just like...
I didn't think so.
Last time I went to the toilet at night, I stepped on my dog and he like yelped really loud. And I don't want to hurt my dog, right? I don't like abusing animals. So I take that safety precaution. Apparently, I wasn't safe enough. So, yeah.
You just like wait like a minute and your eyes will just adjust to the darkness. Like I don't need
I'm at one and I need to go pee. I'm not gonna urinate my pants while
yeah, like,
I wait
so
for
by
my
the
eyes.
Time you get to the bathroom and are done, you'll be adjusted. Like, you don't humans are capable of surviving limited periods of time in near total darkness. I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
Over the course of
human evolution.
Noob. Alternatively, yeah. I mean this was the middle of the night, no one would have seen you. You could have just sat down.
I have pride, okay, sir?
I'm with Noob on this one.
You also have a phone that you pissed on, so...
Piss on the phone! I dropped my phone into piss! That is two very distinct things, okay? Those are very different things. Don't try to skew what I said. But no, I'm not going to throw away my manhood by sitting on the toilet to take a number one. People who do that are essentially giving away their gender. Like
they're monsters, wait, no, right? They're essentially monsters.
Doesn't your culture squat when they do it anyway, or is that incorrect?
No,
that's my culture,
men,
I think.
Oh, is that your culture? Okay.
Yeah. Let's have a look.
Like, why? That's gross. You shouldn't contact with the toilet unless you're taking a number two and you have to, right?
Yeah, that's good.
At home, I sit because it's a lot cleaner.
That's disgusting. That is disgusting. You shouldn't fucking sit on the toilet unless you're taking a shit. That's the golden rule.
Why? No, that's a fucked up rule, to be honest.
I remember my kindergarten teacher telling me, don't take a shit. Wait, no, that's not it. Don't. Yeah, that's the thing.
We got something to talk about.
I was going to talk about something else, but I forget. All right.
Oh, no, hang on a second. Hang on. Before Noob gets into that, I was kind of just perusing stuff during the show, and I happened upon Noob's Steam profile. Have we discussed that he has convicted sex offender in his Steam profile?
Wait, what?
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 Yeah, it says Noobarama, Edmund, Canada, convicted sex offender.
Yeah, what about it?
Oh,
what?
Oh, God.
What?
I'm not sure, though. Honestly, I'm not sure if I'm more troubled by that or the level 5 Victoria 2 badge.
I have all of my Paradox games are level 5.
People, okay, all right. So there are such things as joking about the type of person you are on the internet. But usually, listing yourself as a convicted sex offender is not a good idea.
I fucking recently been getting friend requests from random people every day. I thought this might be a good deterrent.
Like, you know, just random like, people. Some people list themselves in a relationship, but they're not actually in a relationship that they just want to be bothered about. That's fine. But convicted sex offender is a sort of serious thing.
Just like, if you had sex with a goat, they could probably consider that as a sex offender, right?
I mean, yes. Exactly. Yes. Exposing yourself to people
if you walk out of your house and your flies down and your junk just hangs out.
I want to be clear, none of these things are things you should jokingly associate with yourselves on the internet.
Like, sorry, Tim, go ahead with your story.
I was just going to mention that I got a call from Nanny-chan about a new date, and there something just popped up, and what it says on the prompt is two options: practice kissing, don't practice kissing. Should we go to the next
practice kissing.
Turn on your goddamn cam.
Okay. Wait, I'll do this.
I need to see this bullshit. And
this is so weird.
Well, you're not going to be able to, because it's not, I'm not going to be able to screen share it over.
I'm opening my window, goddammit.
PVC pipeline stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Awesome.
That, I'll discuss the Japanese thing.
So why are you entering random Japanese mumbles and trying to talk to them? And why are you being kicked? Like, what is...
Okay, so I'll go back. So maybe
I can tell you why he's being kicked.
October, November, like me and people on the Giant Bomb Mumble just started fucking getting bored for a bit. So we went onto the connect button on Mumble, and if you go to public internet, you can see a bunch of servers. And of course, it's my dream to always, you know, become Tomodachi with the Nipponese people, right? I might. Yeah.
What does that mean? What are you even saying?
Friends with the Japs, you know, friends with the Nips. So I go. We go on.
What? On,
you know, with the gooks.
Oh, jeez.
You know, if we go Asia and then go to Japan, we can see the publicly listed servers for Mumble. And apparently, Japanese people don't really use Mumble. So we'd hop on these servers, and these are essentially public servers, and you rent out individual rooms. So we'd go into the servers. All of the rooms are passworded and locked, so we can't communicate with everyone. You know, I can't do anything. So it was like sort of not very fun until we figured out TeamSpeak is the Japanese enclave on online internet talking things. Right?
Okay.
So me and a few people, or me and one person specifically, we got a...
let's not say you have a lot of people with you when you do this.
No, I had a lot of people when I went to Mumble, but installing TeamSpeak was apparently unbearable for people.
Uh-huh.
So we would, if you go on the server list, literally hundreds of people, at least like hundreds of servers, sorry, and just like thousands of people online. So again, if we go into most servers, they are all passworded channels, so we can't go in. But we do find these one or two community servers that are full of accepting Japanese people, so we thought. So what would happen is TeamSpeak essentially shows you what your IP is, and it would do like a flag. So I would have like a Canadian flag beside my name when I join a server. And apparently in Japan, that's enough to warrant you a ban. So I would join a server, and before I even spoke, it would be like, "Ah, Gaijin." And then it's like, banned. Fuck you.
Whoa.
One time I joined a server, before I said anything, this Japanese guy said, "Hey, Canada man, fuck you." And then he banned me.
Whoa. Nice. What?
So I decided to take the offensive, and I joined servers and start yelling, "Dokdo is Korean territory." Dokdo being a tiny island off of the coast of Korea, which is Korean territory. And
you know, it was one man army against Japs.
Until I hit a point where it's like sometimes you find like accepting people who just, I don't know, start conversation and be like, "Hello." At first, they were like very curious. I had my dream fulfilled recently. I got a Japanese girl who called me Gaijin. I almost shit my pants. What else happened?
What is this world you stumbled upon?
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So I go to these servers. I type to Japanese people, link them weird videos. And then it's just like a symbiotic relationship. But
so wait, have you found like a second home amongst these places, or you've just been banned from all of them?
Being banned because at one point or another, I ruin it and start spouting it.
But is like what? Link, you'd be the worst double agent of all time. Like
no, me and my friend would go on, and this guy essentially had his name that said undercover American as his name in Japanese. That's how we constantly kept on. I didn't realize that's what his name was, so we kept on because of that. Also, like, I don't know. They're just super xenophobic. They just assume like I'm a troll, and you know what? Let's be honest. They do.
You are.
Understand.
You are a troll.
I don't want to.
So you're saying the Japanese people are a very good judge of character?
No, but I don't want to troll them. I want to make friends with people across the Pacific. You know.
Okay, so in the case where you forcibly made a Japanese woman to call you Gaijin,
no,
what
no,
happened
no,
to get
no,
you banned?
That wasn't forcibly. I entered the channel. And we're like, Gaijin, because they're
fucking racist. Oh God, dumb. That actually makes me kind of mad. But yeah, so how'd you get banned?
I don't think I got banned from that server. It just
Have you favorited it? Have you favorited it? And now you're just gonna
I don't
you're secretly
go
there
it,
right
though.
Now, aren't you?
I'm currently in a server right now that gave me like a 7-minute ban because I was just linking weird videos. I don't know. I just want to make friends with the people across the Atlantic. Like if they treat me like crap or not treat me like crap. If they ban me, like TeamSpeak. Okay, here's something fucked up. We ended up trying really hard and getting a Japanese proxy, so our thing would give a Japanese flag. And then we got immediately banned anyways.
You so officially have taken this too far.
No, but they banned us anyways. They banned us anyways regardless of... They fire on their own troops. Nothing has changed. I'm going to say that right now. They are still vehemently, you know, racist. So, you know, I would go on and link videos of Rising Storm, the Red Orchestra game, of American soldiers firing a flamethrower and the Japanese soldiers screaming, ah! That's pretty good. And I don't know.
I would ban you. Yeah. That's pretty much, yeah. I can see.
I want to join and make friends. So I would just start conversations like, hey, where are you guys from? What's the weather like? What do you guys
are you
like
saying
anime?
This in English to an old Japanese audience?
Google Translate. I would link them Google Translate. Like, I'm going to use Google Translate. Generally, they know very pidgin English.
That's the issue. Using Google Translate. That's not very reliable.
No, I know, but they obviously know that. And they have
for... You could be saying, hi, how are you? And you're actually saying, I shit in an outhouse and dump a taco. I mean...
For simple... I just all caps say, hi, how are you? Fine, thank you. But just like complex stuff I use. I just want to make friends, man. I want to build those bridges that were burned in 1945. I am here to make peace.
Have you tried...
are tired of playing virtual games with Japanese women. You want to be with a Japanese woman.
The Japanese people don't want peace. That's the problem here. I am a peacemaker. But they clearly... That said, it is pretty weirdly xenophobic. Like, they ban immediately.
You know what? If your perspective on this has been truthful... Which I doubt.
No.
Let's be clear here. I doubt everything you've said.
Joining a channel with like with a Canadian flag and they say, do you speak Japanese? And then you don't respond, they ban you. So I don't know. I just want
to
be
weird.
Well, I mean, to be fair, if some like French dude joined our mumble and just
I wouldn't ban them. I just move him to I would move him away.
This is before I spoke. This is
well, okay, so here's the thing though, so I guess here's the difference is you're not American.
That's true. I know what you're implying by that, but that's kind of true. That's fact. I'm not
Americans
American.
Don't like French.
Oh, really? Is that still
one?
It's kind of
simple, really. Like,
no one likes
ways.
French are the most hated in Canada. French, everyone in Europe hates France.
No.
French Canadians are the worst.
French Canadians are the most hated in Canada.
No, we don't like French people either. Just French in general. Because they're fucking easy to surrender monkeys. should I go through the practice kissing? What am I going to do?
Yeah, sure. Okay, sure.
This, right?
Huh?
I don't know how to do camera. Okay. Wait.
You literally just enable your camera and then just point. Oh, you can't.
By the way, you should watch that last laugh that I said.
Third left. We can't do group video call.
Yeah, we can't. Third left. Oh, well. And with that, thank you for listening to this post-episode discussion about Nooborama. And his
that was depressing. Everything about
many, many problems. yeah, you are, I don't know why we're his friend either.
We have to charge money for the post show, like, you know, pay a dollar and you listen to the post bullshit that we talk about afterwards.
Oh, you know how before, like, Giant Bomb was, like, said they were going to split between, like, a premium member podcast, like, a non-premium podcast? We should totally
I don't
do
like how they did that. I don't like because I do on it. My podcast app, I can't download the premium member one, even though I am.
Yeah.
It's kind of bullshit, which I like their honestly, their commercials are pretty good, though.
I was going to say, it doesn't bother me whatsoever because I actually would prefer the non-premium because the commercials are great.
Yeah, they are.
As long as they're doing them that way.
Yeah. Yeah, for a while there, the commercials got too commercially, and I didn't like it, but now they're back to being cool.
Hey, Jeff. Hi, Vinny.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, before it was just Brad reading into a microphone. That was pretty bad.
Oh, I missed those then. I guess I didn't hear those ones or something, but I don't like when Brad talks.
Really?
is that bad? Like I've actually liked listening to it's just weird. You guys know me. I hated Patrick for the longest time. Now that he's not in the office,
Patrick.
I don't mind him that much. And I like watching his stuff.
You're right.
But now Brad
perfect.
Yeah. But now Brad is just like he's always falling asleep during the fucking Friday shows. He doesn't have any energy whatsoever. Like, dude, have some fun. I still see it.
You don't know this, but Brad is actually secretly the San Francisco Batman. That's why.
That's why Brad's leaving. He has no reason to do it properly.
Should we start that up again? Should I tweet that out and start that whole thing again?
God damn. We got to end this.